नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे।
We'll start after Prabhuji arrives.
We'll recite one more verse. Which other verse? 7, 15, 20 is there. 20 is very nice verse. Ekantino yasyana kanchanartham वांछन्ति एवै भगवत्प्रपन्नाः अत्यद्भुतं दच्चरितं सुमंगलं गायन्त आनंद समुद्रमग्नाः। एकांतिनो यस्य न कांचनार्थं वांछन्ति एवै भगवत्प्रपन्नाः अत्यद्भुतं तच्चरितं सुमंगलं गायन्त आनंद समुद्रमग्नाः। एकांतिनो यस्य न कांचनार्थं वांछन्ति एवै भगवत्प्रपन्नाः अत्यद्भुतं तच्चरितं सुमंगलं गायन्त आनंद समुद्रमग्नः। सो हियर गजेंद्र इज डिस्क्राइबिंग द क्वालिटीज ऑफ एकांतिना भक्तास। एकांतिना मीन्स अनलॉयड डिवोटीज। दे हैव ओनली वन पॉइंटेड डिजायर टू वर्शिप कृष्ण, नो अदर डिजायर। एकांतिनो यस्य न कांचनार्थम, दे डोंट डिजायर एनीथिंग एल्स। No other benediction is there within the scope of their desires. So, na kanchanartham vanchanti means they don't desire. Ye vai bhagavat prapanna, they are fully surrendered unto Bhagavan. Then, atyadbhutam tat charitam sumangalam gayant ananda samudra magnaha. Atyadbhutam, means very wonderful. Tat charitam, the activities of Supreme Lord. Sumangalam, very auspicious activities of Lord. Gayanta Ananda Samudramagna, they are constantly chanting and hearing Ananda Samudramagna by being immersed in the ocean of bliss. So three qualities of Ekantina devotees are mentioned in this. Ekantino yasya nakanchanartham vanchanti, they don't desire anything else other than devotional service of Krishna. Then Bhagavat Prapanna, they are completely surrendered devotees. Third quality is Gayanta Ananda Samudramagna Atyadbhutam Tacharitam Sumangalam. They are with great bliss and satisfaction, they are constantly glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities, which are very wonderful and which are very auspicious. Right? Ekantino yasyana kanchanartham vanchanti evai bhagavat prapannah atyadbhutam tacharitam sumangalam gayanta ananda samudra magnah ekantino yasyana kanchanartham vanchanti evai bhagavat prapannah atyadbhutam tacharitam sumangalam gayanta ananda samudra magnah. Yes, who else? Makanlal Ru, recite. Kaunsa verse? He is busy in service. He is Ekantina devotee. 20. Vanchanti evai bhagavat prapannah atyadbhutam tacharitam sumangalam gayanta ananda samudra magna. Abhimanyu Prabhu. Charitam. Someone has memorized already. This is a simpler verse. Ramesh Viru. Okay. Who else? Hey, Prabhu. So, someone who has already memorized, you must be, yeah, try. Ekantino yasya na kanchanartham vanchanti evai bhagavat prapannah atyadbhutam tacharitam sumangalam gayanti ananda samudra magna. Yes, Jagannath Yatra Prabhu. Ekantino yasya na kanchanartham vanchanti evai bhagavat prapannah. So this is three verses sufficient.
Should we start through? How was it?
Okay. Fine. So here we have completed the 7th canto. So there are 10 themes in any Puran. Similarly, we have in Bhagavatam also. There is Puran. There are 10 themes. What are the 10 themes? 10 themes? Sarga, Visarga, Sthanam, Poshana, Uti, Manvantara, Ishanugata, Niradha, Mukti, Ashraya. Right? So, what all we have discussed so far in the 7 cantos? Till Uti. Sarga, Visarga are there in the 3rd and 4th cantos. Actually, first 2 cantos of Bhagavatam are like prelude, introduction. Then 3rd and 4th cantos and a part of 5th canto also is Sarga and Visarga. Sarga is the primary creation by the Supreme Lord, and Visarga is the creation, secondary creation by Brahmaji and his descendants. So Swayambhu Manu's dynasty is described till the middle of 5th canto, right? 5th canto, 15th chapter. From 16th chapter onwards, we have the description of Sthanam, the positioning of various planets, planetary systems in the cosmos. Then 6th canto, major theme is Poshana. Then 7th canto is the Uti, inclination. So these are the main topics. So now 8th canto, the major theme of 8th canto is Manvantara. So Manvantara means the reign or the period of rule of Manu. That is called Manvantara. So the period during which one Manu rules is Manvantara. There are 14 such Manus in one day of Brahma. And one Manu will rule for about 71 Divya Yugas, 71 Chatur Yugas, right? So this is the period of one Manvantara. So far, Swayambhu Manvantara is quite elaborately discussed. So here in the beginning of the 8th canto, Parikshit Maharaj is expressing his eagerness to know about the other Manus, right? So this is Vaivasvata Manvantara, 7th Manu, 7th Manvantara. So only 1st Manvantara is discussed so far. So Sukadeva Parikshit Maharaj is expressing eagerness to know about other Manus, and later he will express his eagerness to know about the future Manus also, right? And why he is very eager to know about various Manvantaras? His eagerness is because those Manvantaras are connected to the Lord's incarnations. Parikshit Maharaj is eager to know about Lord's incarnations in the dynasties of various Manus. In the Swayambhu Manvantara, in his dynasty, there are so many incarnations of the Supreme Lord. So similarly, in the other Manvantaras also there are many incarnations. Right? What are the incarnations? That was his question. So this is the breakup, the sections of this chapter. You can take this. Then even before beginning this chapter, we could understand the mood of Srila Prabhupada from the the chapter summary that he has given in the beginning of the chapter. He says, I am praying to my spiritual master to give me strength to finish this work of translating Srimad Bhagavatam. I am neither a great scholar nor a great devotee. He is both. He has bhakti, he has Vedanta. That's why he is called Bhakti Vedanta Swami. And he says, I have no scholarship, I have no bhakti also. Right? So that is the humility of a devotee. I am simply a humble servant of my spiritual master, and to the best of my ability, I am trying to please him by publishing these books with the cooperation of my disciples in America. So now here Prabhupada is giving credit to his spiritual master and his disciples. He is not taking any credit for himself. So this is the mood of a devotee, where he acknowledges the efforts of other devotees. He gives credit into the top level, seniors, and he gives credit to the juniors. Without the empowerment and instruction and vision of the seniors, I can't do anything. And without the assistance and help and support of my juniors, I can't do anything. Right? So this is the mood of a devotee, like that. Fortunately, scholars all over the world are appreciating these publications. Let us cooperatively publish more and more volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam just to please His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So let us cooperatively publish more. So Prabhupada said, let us publish more. He did not say that. He said cooperatively. So there is another element added. So service may get done many times, but the relish or the satisfaction of the service, the final outcome of the service, or the the mood in which a person completes that service is very much related to his dealings with other servants. Few people are together serving, right? When they are cooperatively serving, they are cooperating with each other, then once the service is completed, all the devotees will feel such satisfaction, will feel such gratitude towards each other. Then only that service will give a spiritual experience. If there is no cooperation amongst them and they are fighting with each other, even if the service is accomplished, still it is very, it's not a very satisfying experience, right? So this cooperation is very important. As we spend more and more years together, we will realize the importance of cooperating with each other and acknowledging each other's efforts, right? This is a very important element. This is one of the important things that Prabhupada has emphasized before his departure, cooperation. And prachetas, they were appreciated by even the Supreme Personality of Godhead for their loving relationships, cooperative dealings with each other. So this is very important. So this is mood of Prabhupada, acknowledging the empowerment of his spiritual master and the efforts of his disciples, and not taking credit for himself. So the contents of 8th canto are like this. So the first chapter mainly concludes the descriptions of Swayambhu Manu's dynasty, or concludes the story of Swayambhu Manu here. So Swayambhu Manu and his descendants are discussed very elaborately in the last 7 cantos, and now here the perfection or the renunciation of Swayambhu Manu and his prayers to the Supreme Lord, so they are all discussed here. And that is about the first Manvantara, and the other 4 Manus are also described in this chapter. Then the second to fourth chapter describe the story of Gajendra and the 5th Manu. Actually, while describing the different aspects of 4 Manvantaras, in the 4th Manvantara, Sukadeva Goswami explains that in the 4th Manvantara, Lord Hari protected an elephant which was caught by a crocodile. Then Parikshit Maharaj becomes inquisitive. Oh, what is that story? Gajendra story, I want to hear. So 3 chapters just go there. So many times, to one question, the speaker, Parikshit Maharaj, asks one question, Sukadeva Goswami tries to answer that question. So in the course of answering that question, he will say some topics that will create some more inquisitiveness on Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj, in the middle only, he will ask another question. He will elaborate there, and then he will come back to the original question. So that is the regular thing in Bhagavatam. So this is the story of Gajendra. 3 chapters go there, and then he will continue with the 5th Manu, then 6th Manu. Then in the 6th Manu, there is Chakshusha Manvantara. Our Sukadeva Goswami says that Samudra Manthan happened in that period only, 6th Manvantara. Then Sukadeva Goswami asks, I want to know about this Samudra Manthan. So now Sukadeva Goswami elaborates it till 12th chapter, 5th till 12th chapter. 7 chapters are this whole episode of Samudra Manthan only. Then in the 13th chapter, 7th Manu is described. This is Vaivasvata Manu or Shraddha Deva Manu. So, and his activities are described. And there in the 14th chapter only, Parikshit Maharaj gives the description of future Manvantaras also. So now we are in the middle of 7th Manvantara. So from 8th Manvantara till 14th Manvantara in this day of Brahma. So that is also described by Sukadeva Goswami. Okay, future Manvantaras also. Then Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami says that in one Manvantara, Vamandev comes. In Vaivasvata Manvantara, 7th Manvantara, Vamandev comes. And then he subdues Bali. And this Bali will become Indra in a future manvantara, right? In a next manvantara. He says that, then Parikshit Maharaj gets excited and then he says, I want to know about that Vamandev episode. Then again, 8 chapters will go in that Vamandev episode. How did Vamandev subdue Bali Maharaj? 15 to 23. Then, that last chapter of this canto, 24th chapter, will speak about the Matsya Avatar. Right? So, this is a brief outline of this 8th canto. You can note down. Now, Parikshit Maharaj is asking the question. First question. Shri Rajo Vacha Swayambhuvasyeha Guru Vamshoyam Vistarashruta Yatra Vishvasrujam Sargo Manon Anyan Vidasvana.
King Parikshit said, O my Lord, my spiritual master, now I have fully heard from your grace about the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu, but there are also other Manus, and I want to hear about their dynasties. Kindly describe them to us.
So I have heard about Swayambhu Manu's dynasty. I want to hear about other Manu's dynasties. This was his first question. Second verse. Manvantare harer janma karmani chamahiyasa grinanti kavayo brahmams tani no vadasrunvatam.
Brahmana, Sukhdev Goswami, the great learned persons who are completely intelligent, describe the activity and appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead during the various manvantaras. We are very eager to hear about these narrations. Kindly describe them.
Here we can understand that in the first verse he said, by your grace I have understood the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu. Here Parikshit Maharaj is putting forward questions not in a mood of accumulating information. Right? So whatever we learn is by the grace of spiritual master. So, the way Parikshit Maharaj is putting forward his questions is very interesting here, that as soon as one question is answered, he is not putting forward next question to just gather some information or knowledge, but he is acknowledging the contribution of his spiritual master and expressing his eagerness for further enlightenment. That was his mood. I want to know more. And his mood is very much reflected. What was his purpose in asking this question? Okay, you are not seeking for some information only about the, you know, history, but what else are you seeking? Very nicely he explains in the second verse. Manvantare harer janma karmani cha mahiyasah. In this manvantaras, Hari, Lord Hari, took his janma. He took birth. Means he took so many incarnations in different manvantaras. Karmani, he has performed so many activities. Cha mahiyasah, they are great, wonderful activities that he has performed. Grinanti kavayo brahmam sthanino vatasrunvatam. Grinanti, please describe. These are described by other devotees also. Right? People who are kavis, very intelligent people, describe the janma and karma of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various incarnations. And now I am eager to know all of them. Tanino vadasrunvatam. So, here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mamedi sorjuna. So, janma karma cha me divyam. The janma and the karma of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is divyam, transcendental. And by knowing his janma and karma, one will go to spiritual world and he need not come back. Now understand, relate that with this verse of Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj here. Manvantare harer janma karmani cha mahiyasah tani no vada srinvatam. I want to know about the janma and karma of Lord Hari in different manvantaras. Means what? he is expressing his eagerness to hear about the Janma and Karma of Krishna. That means he is showing symptoms of qualification for his going back to Godhead. Is it not? So he, by this question, by his eagerness to hear about Janma and Karma of Supreme Lord, we can understand that he is qualified to go back to Godhead. As Krishna says, this is the qualification. Right? So he is showing symptoms by which one can understand that he will surely go back to Godhead. So here, Prabhupada, in the purport, he nicely explains how to confirm an incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Grananti kavayaha means there are descriptions of various incarnations like Gunavataras, Manvantaravataras, Leelas, Leelavataras, Yugavataras. So all of them are accepted by great learned scholars from Vedic scriptures. Right? So scriptures should confirm about Lord's appearance. Right? And intelligent people, sadhus, should describe Lord's activities like that. So identity of an incarnation should be confirmed by descriptions of Shastras and by his wonderful activities. Mahiyasaha. Activities of an incarnation are not ordinary magic or jugglery. So this Mahiyasa is not referring to some yogic mystic powers pseudo gods may exhibit. It is referring to the wonderful activities, Harir Adbhuta Karmanaha, of the Supreme Lord. Last year, 8th canto, we began here only, not in yoga studio. At that time, it was not there, in the mezzanine floor downstairs, for the second batch. So today we did here. So we just began, Rose. This is like overview of the 8th canto. So Parikshit Maharaj, just now in the first verse, he said that he has heard the description of the Swayambhu Manu dynasty till now by the grace of Sukadeva Goswami, and then he is eager to hear about the birth and activities of Supreme Personality of Godhead in various other manvantaras also. Third verse. Yadyasmin antare brahman bhagavan vishvabhavana kritavan kurute karta hyatite nagate dyava.
O learned Brahmana, kindly describe to us whatever activities the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created this cosmic manifestation, has performed in the past Manvantaras, in performing, is performing at present, and will perform in the future Manvantaras.
So Parikshit Maharaj says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the creator of this cosmos, universe, he performed so many activities in the past Manvantaras, and he will be performing so many activities in the future Manvantaras also. So I want to know about all the past, present and future Manvantaras of the Supreme Lord. So here Parikshit Maharaj's appetite for hearing is very much apparent here. He wants to hear about the future incarnations also, when he had only less than 7 days to live now. So here in the purport, Prabhupada speaks about some differences between the Supreme Lord and the living entity, conditioned soul. So past, present and future incarnations are there for the Supreme Lord. So past, present and future also exist for the living entity also, conditioned soul also. But Lord is supremely eternal, sentient. And living entity is also eternal. This is commonality. So Lord and living entity both are eternal and sentient, and past, present and future exist for both. But Supreme Lord is unlimited, but the living entity is limited. And there is absolutely no difference between the body of the Supreme Lord and the Lord himself. But for a conditioned soul, the soul is different from the body. His body is made of matter. In the conditioned state, the soul's body is made of matter and the soul is spiritual. Okay, but even if the Supreme Lord descends into this material world also, his body is totally spiritual. Like that. He doesn't have a material body. So the Supreme Lord is the creator of everything, but our living entity, he is never created, he is ever existing, but he exists with the Lord eternally. And Supreme Lord's body is never created, but material body of the living entities are created according to his karma and other things. So this is described in the third purport. Now we'll recite the fourth verse. Sukadeva Goswami is responding to the question of Parikshit Maharaj. Sri Rishir Uvacha Manavosmin Vyatitast Shat Kalpe Svayambhuvadaya Adyaste Katito Yatra Devadinam Jasambhava.
Sukadeva Goswami said, in the present kalpa there have already been six manus. I have described to you Swayambhu Manu and the appearance of many demigods. In this kalpa of Brahma, Swayambhu Manu is the first manu.
So Sukadeva Goswami is saying, in the present kalpa, six manus, six manvantaras already passed. I described to you the Swayambhu Manvantara, who is the first manu. And in his reign, many demigods and others also appeared. Fifth verse. Akutyam deva hutyam cha duhitrostasya vai manoha dharmagnano padeshartham bhagavan putratam gata.
Swayambhu Manu had two daughters named Akuti and Devhuti. From their wombs, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared as two sons named Yajnamurti and Kapila, respectively. These sons were interested with preaching about religions and knowledge.
So the question is centered around Lord's incarnations in various manvantaras. So now in the Swayambhu Manvantara, so Lord appeared in the womb of his daughters, Akuti and Devahuti, as Yajnamurti and Kapil Dev. So Kapil, they both are preaching religion and knowledge. So Lord Kapila's activities and incarnation, they are elaborately described in the third canto already. So now he has to describe about Yajnamurti. So that will come in the next verses. Kritam Pura Bhagavata Kapilasya Anuvarnitam Akhyase Bhagavan Yajno Yachakara Kurudvaha.
Best of the Kurus, I have already described in the third canto the activities of Kapila, the son of Devahuti. Now I shall describe the activity of Yajnapati, the son of Akuti.
Viraktah kama bhogeshu shatarupa patih prabhu visrujya rajyam tapase sabharyo vanama vishat.
Swayambhu Manu, the husband of Shatrupa, was by nature not at all attached to enjoyment of the senses. Thus he gave up his kingdom of sense enjoyment and entered the forest with his wife to practice austerities.
Viratta kama bhogeshu. So here is a description of the nature of Rajarshis, monarchs. They are very renounced. They unnecessarily don't indulge in sense gratification. Virakta kama bhogeshu shatarupa pati prabhu. Here shatarupa pati is the husband of shatarupa, who is Swayambhu Manu. So he is virakta, very renounced from sense gratification, kama bhogeshu. What did he do? Visrijya rajyam tapase. He just left his kingdom, visrijya rajyam tapase. He went to austerities, sabharyo, along with his wife, vanam avishat. He went to the forest. So Prabhupada speaks about the meaning of monarchy here. Rajarshayo viduhu, imam rajarshayo viduhu, Krishna says. So all the manus were perfect kings, they are rajarshis. They held posts as kings of the world, but they are as good as rishis, saints. They have no desire for sense gratification. So king or the emperor must be trained that by nature he renounces sense gratification. It is not that because one becomes king, he should unnecessarily spend money for sense gratification. Prabhupada says, so this eagerness for renunciation and detachment for sense gratification, virakta kama bhogeshu, is seen in many kings in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yudhishthira Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, Manu, Priyavrat, Uttanapad. So all of them are taking the responsibilities of the kingdom, but they are viraktah kama bhogeshu. They are not very much enthused to continue with that sense gratification or opulence. They are always eager to renounce. So now Prabhupada says, so here is the example of Manu. The word Manushya is coming from Manu, right? Man is coming from Manu. So Manu is the ideal human being. So here Manu is setting an example of retiring from his family life or some kinghood at certain time and then going into the forest. So that has to be followed by everyone. So we have a book called Manu Samhita. So Manu Samhita means the rules set by Manu, right? So all kings have to, are supposed to follow that. As soon as kings become degraded, spending money for sense gratification, they were lost. So monarchy is lost. But democracy is not a right substitute for monarchy, Prabhupada says. So now by the laws of nature, the time is coming when dictatorship will put the citizens into more and more difficulty. If the king or dictator individually or the members of the government collectively cannot maintain the state or kingdom according to the rules of Manu Samhita, certainly that government will not endure. So whether it is monarchy or democracy, one has to follow the rules of Manu Samhita. If they put Manu Samhita aside and then create systems, then they will not be successful. So this is some suggestion by our Srila Prabhupada. Then 8th verse. Yes, please.
Jagnamurti and Kapila, they all appeared. The Jagnamurti is coming in one of the Manvantaras, I think, is it?
In the Swayambhu Manvantara, he comes as son of Akuti.
Yeah. So all the 14 Manus, they are not incarnations, no? Are they?
Actually, it is said that there are 6 elements in Manvantara. In the next table, it is given. Right. Manvantaro Manurdeva, Manuputra Sureshwara. Give me this book. Manvantaro Manurdeva, Manuputra Sureshwara. Then Rishayam Savatarasya. So Manu, Manuputras means sons of demigod, sons of Manu. Then Deva, all the demigods. Sureshwara, king of the demigods.
Yes.
Then Rishayah, all the 7 sages. Then Amshavatara, Lord's incarnation. So these are the 6 elements of a Manvantara.
In each Manvantara.
For each Manvantara. So all these 6 elements are expansions of Supreme Lord only. So all of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So all of them
they,
are...
They come in which avatara they come?
Actually, this Amshavatara is referring to Manvantara avatar. But others are also some partial expansions of Supreme Lord only.
They are not jivas.
They are not... they are considered expansions, avataras only, but some jivas are empowered. They are like Shaktyavesha or actually Vishnu Tattvas. Because sometimes when it comes Sureshwara, sometimes a living entity is given the post of Indra. Sometimes the Supreme Lord himself takes the post of as Indra. That happened in the first Manvantara. So these could be jivas who are empowered or directly this Vishnu Tattvas also. So now, 8th verse. Sunandayam Varshasatam Padaike Nabhuvam Sprishan Tapyamanastapo Ghoram Idam Anvaha Bharata.
Sikon of Bharat, after Swayambhu Manu had thus entered the forest with his wife, he stood on one leg on the bank of the river Sunanda. And in this way, with only one leg touching the earth, he performed great austerity for 100 years. While performing this austerity, he spoke as follows.
After renouncing his kingdom, he performed austerities, standing on one leg for 100 years on the bank of a river called Sunanda. Now, the next 7 verses, 9 to 16, they describe about the prayers of Swayambhu Manu to the Supreme Lord. These are some Upanishadic prayers. Right, next 8 verses. శ్రీమనుర్ ఉవాచ యేన చేతయతే విశ్వం విశ్వం చేతయతే నయం యో జాగర్తి శయానేస్మిన్ నాయం తం వేద వేదస.
Lord Manu said, the Supreme Living Being has created this material world of animation. It is not that he was created by this material world. When everything is silent, the Supreme Being stay awake as a witness. The living entity does not know him, but he knows everything.
So this is a very interesting prayer. All these 8 verses are very interesting, philosophical. Yena chetayate vishwam. So the Supreme Lord, he is the creator. He chetayate vishwam. He brings this vishwam into animation. He animates this world. Yena chetayate vishwam. Vishwam chetayate nayam. So he is not the one animated by this vishwam. The whole universe is not animating him, but he is animating the universe. Or he is the creator of the universe, but he is not the created person within the universe. We are all created beings in the universe. Created being, our bodies are created, but he is not like that. Yena chetayate vishwam, and vishwam chetayate nayam. Then yo jagarti shayanesmin nayam tam veda vedasaha. Yo jagarti shayanesmin. So shayane means sleeping, right? Asmin, when everything in this world is sleeping, yena yo jagarti, he is awake. Means at the time of inhalation, when everything is put into a state of sleep, right, or hibernate mode, he is active, right? He is awake in silence. He is witness in silence. He is the creator. He exists beyond the creation also, beyond the dissolution also. Then, nayam tam veda vedasaha. No one can know him. Nayam tam veda vedasaha. Means no one can know him, but he is the knower of everything. Like that. Na ayam, this living entity, tam veda, he can know him. So Supreme Lord is the creator, he is not the created. Second, he is awake in silence, or he is witness in silence. The third thing is, he is the knower, he is not the known. These are the three things explained in this verse. So Prabhupada gives the distinction between the Supreme Lord and the living entities, right? Living entity and Supreme Lord both are Kshetragna, but Supreme Lord is Supreme Kshetragna. He is the Kshetragna of all bodies, but the living entity is the Kshetragna of his own body, like that. So, Nityo Nityanam Chetanasyatananam, this also Prabhupada quotes. And at the time of inhalation, Prabhupada elaborates on this, third line. Yo jagarti shayanismin. He is the witness in silence. He elaborates on this. At the time of annihilation, all the living entities are sent into oblivion. They are silent. They are in a dreaming or unconscious condition. And the Supreme Being stays awake as witness of everything. So, he is awake during the creation phase, maintenance phase, and destruction phase also of the material world. So the changes in this material world will affect the living entity. When the living entity is, when the material universe is being created, the bodies of living entity come into existence and the living entity starts animating according to his karma. Then in the maintenance phase, living entity is just working state. At the destruction state, living entity will go into sleep mode, right? But all these three phases will not affect the Supreme Lord. Lord is always jagarti, shayanismin. He is always the witness. He is always in a awakened state. So Prabhupada explains that there are three stages of dreaming for a living entity. So there are four stages of consciousness. One knows jagrati, swapna, sushupti and turiya. Right? Lord is in the turiya stage, transcendental. Beyond this awake or dreamy or sleep states. But even this stages of dreaming are also three types for the living entity. So first, so the living entity has a waking dream, Prabhupada says. So when awake, he is put in work order. So now, for example, somebody is, an employee is going to office and then he is working. apparently he's in awake state, but that is also a dream state only, right? Ultimately. Then second, he's a sleeping dream. First is the waking dream, second is a sleeping dream. So when he is asleep, he dreams again. So this is obviously understood. Then last is an unconscious dream. This happens at the time of annihilation. When the material world is unmanifested, there is another stage of dreaming. So these are the three stages of dreaming for a living entity. Right? So at the time of annihilation is one dream. During the time of maintenance also, when he is sleeping, there is a dream. When there is awake also, he is in a dreamy state. But a devotee who performs devotional service always is beyond these three states of dreaming. He dreams for service of Krishna. He dreams to make a big temple of Krishna. So they are considered transcendental. Now, in the ninth verse, our Swayambhu Manu described the situation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as transcendental. He is the creator, not the created. He is awake in silence. He is the knower, he is not the known. Right? So he described the transcendental situation of the Supreme Lord. For the instruction of his sons and grandsons in his dynasty. We are all in his dynasty. Right? He is now describing that all the property of the universe is belonging to the Supreme Lord. In the 10th verse, he described that, 9th verse I described that Lord is transcendental. In the 10th verse he says, this whole universe is the property of the Supreme Lord. So this is resembling a Isopanishad verse. Atmavasyam idam vishvam yatkinchit jagatyam jagat tenatyaktena bhunjita magridha kasya svidhanam.
Within this universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his super soul feature is present everywhere. Wherever there are animate or inanimate beings, therefore one should accept only that which is allotted to him. One should not desire to infringe upon the property of others.
So everything belongs to Supreme Lord. So one should not infringe upon others' property. He should accept whatever is set aside by him. Very beautiful purport, logical purport that Prabhupada gives. So here Prabhupada first emphasizes these statements are Manu statements. So Manu is the original man. So Prabhupada first establishes the position of Manu so that his words may be accepted as authoritative and worth following. Right? First he establishes the position of Manu. So all the members of human society are descendants of the original Manu. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavanaham Avyam Vivasvan Manave Praha. He quotes that. So since Manu is the original father of humanity, human society should follow his instructions. Like that. Then Prabhupada speaks about the perfect communism, that everything belongs to the Lord. So everything in this material world and spiritual world is the property of Krishna. Right? So kshetragnam chapi mam vidhi, whether in material world or spiritual world, everything is a property of Krishna. So we should not think that we are independent. Rather, we should understand that we are allotted certain portion of Krishna's property and we will utilize it. Right? So this understanding will lead to perfect communism. So communists think of their own nations. But spiritual communism is not only nationwide, but it is universal. What does it say? Nothing belongs to any nation. Nothing belongs to any individual person. Everything belongs to Krishna. Simple. Out of his own mercy, he may give you something. You use it. Don't take someone else's. So this is perfect communism. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. So universal communism can solve the problems of the world. Now there is a question. Okay, property is not mine. What about my body? So you are saying all these belongings may not be mine. This furniture may not be mine. Mic or stand, everything may not be mine. Except at least this body is mine. Somebody may question like that. Answer is, even body is not one's property. Prabhupada speaks that later. So Lord is the supreme director. He observes and he facilitates. He observes Jiva's desires and he facilitates those desires through the medium of Prakriti. Right? So similarly, because of the desires of soul, and the observation of the super soul, the living entity got an opportunity to enjoy his desires or experience his desires in this material body. Simple. So, Supreme Lord has made this desire through the medium of Prakriti, made this body through the medium of Prakriti. So that belongs to Prakriti, that belongs to Supreme Lord. So living entity is allowed to stay in that body for a while. Because he had certain tendencies, he is given that body for a while. So body is also not belonging to him. So karmana devanetrena, then Ishvara sarvabhutanam hrudye sarjana tishtati, there are other references. So how the living entity gets this body and then how this functions. This is functioning due to material nature and modes. But living entity thinks, I am the doer of everything. Like that. So even body is not mine. Now somebody may question, what about my intelligence? Okay, property is not mine, body is not mine, at least my intelligence is mine. Somebody may question. Prabhupada just defeats that thoroughly, that there are, this is the next argument, there are ingredients for the inventions as supplied by Supreme Lord. So with the intelligence of a human being, he may invent many things. He may invent a mic, or he may invent something, many other things. So he may think that with my intelligence I have created these things. But ultimately the ingredients with which you are functioning are ultimately supplied by Krishna only. You may have the intelligence, right? But where do you get? You may think that I have to create a mic, but the ingredients for all this earth, water, fire, air, ether are supplied by the Supreme Lord only. So Prabhupada gives an example. He says there is a big building, skyscraper. It is just a transformation of earth, water and fire. When earth is mixed with water and when it comes into contact with fire, a brick will come out. Right? But in GEV, without contact with fire, brick will come out. But generally, this is a combination of earth, water and fire. So one may construct a big skyscraper. But neither the constructor, nor the merchant, nor the worker can claim proprietorship. Because proprietorship belongs to the person who has spent for the building. Right? So somebody may make the brick. There is a masonry, there is a labor, there is an architect. None of them can claim the proprietorship. Whoever has paid for it, he should claim. But extending this logic, ultimately, Supreme Lord is supplying all the ingredients. So he is the proprietor of everything. Now, Supreme Personality of Godhead manufactured the water, earth, air, fire, sky, etc. One can use this, right, and create some things. So now some, as I questioned in the middle, what about my intelligence? Somebody will question like that. So you may have the intelligence, but ultimately the ingredients to make something which is coming out of your intelligence is supplied by Supreme Lord only. Now next question is, what about my efforts? Right? At least I kept my efforts to bring this together. Yes, that is agreed. You can take salary for your efforts. So architect is given salary, labor is given salary, the head masonry is given salary. So similarly, you have brought together certain things with your intelligence and you have kept some effort, so you can take some salary. That is tena tyaktena bhunjita magrita kasya svidhanam. So your salary is whatever is kept aside for you, that you can take. Other things don't touch. And Prabhupada also suggests that there is another question is, I have many desires and proclivities, so how will I fulfill them? Then Prabhupada suggests that you should dovetail all your propensities in Krishna service. Yes, you are maybe a big construction engineer, try to build a temple for Krishna. Or even if you have built a building for yourself, try to worship Krishna in that building. So Prabhupada says, you have intelligence, you have efforts, better divert all of them towards Krishna. Then you will not be entangled. So like that. So enjoy what is given. Don't desire for what is not given. That is the theme of this verse. So, and Prabhupada also brings out this point. This is thief mentality. Thief mentality is not acknowledging Krishna and then accepting things. So now, one point is made. Whatever is set aside for yourself, you take that. What is set for others, don't touch it. So whatever is set aside for yourself also, while accepting, you have to take some care. First offer it to Krishna and then take it as prasadam. Otherwise, you will be considered thief. So since all property belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything should be offered to the Lord, and then we should only accept prasada. Tiyana tektiyana bhunjita. Otherwise, it is a mentality of thief. So Prabhupada gives some references. If Supreme Lord provides necessities of life, ahara nidra bhayamaituna, for birds and bees, why not for mankind? There is no need for economic development. Everything is provided. Now, Prabhupada also gives this question. There are 84 lakh species. Out of them, 80 lakhs are non-humans only. Birds, reptiles and animals only. So none of them are going to offices or putting so much effort to gain their eating, sleeping, other facilities. So who is providing them? Krishna. So Prabhupada with great conviction makes this statement that 80 lakh species, which are the majority of residents in this planet, they are getting their eating, sleeping, mating, defending facilities directly provided by the Supreme Lord without any organized effort of creating industries or organized slaughterhouses, etc. But they are maintaining themselves. So why human being has to unnecessarily endeavor? So that was Prabhupada's thing. You have extra intelligence. Don't just utilize that extra intelligence to satisfy the basic needs which are already provided for. So this is Prabhupada's argument in one of his classes. If one thinks that, one more point. I don't mind, someone may say that I don't mind to be called as thief. Right? Okay, I will not offer to Krishna, I will eat. You are calling me thief? Calling, keep calling me. I have no problem. Answer is, you will just not be called as thief, you will be punished also. Right? Punishment is, if one thinks that any portion of the property of this huge universe belongs to anyone, he is to be considered thief and punishable by laws of nature. Now in the 11th canto, I think 12th canto, 3rd chapter, there is something called Bhumi Gita. So Mother Bhumi, he sings a small song. There are few verses. She wonders at the nature of all these kings and landlords for claiming her. I am the nature, I am the property of the Supreme Lord, and all these kings are claiming proprietorship over me. So many kings claimed proprietorship over me. They stayed for a few years and they left. Someone else came and claimed proprietorship, and he also left. Like that, generations and generations are going. I am like this only. These fellows are unnecessarily claiming proprietorship on me. Bhumidevi was wondering at the stupidity of all the kings in the Bhumi Gita. If human society unlawfully claims that property of the universe, either partially or wholly, belongs to mankind, all of human society will be cursed as a society of thieves and will be punished by the laws of nature. Like that. So this is about, tiyana tiktiyana bhunjita. Magrida kasya svidhanam. So now in the 10th verse, Lord's omnipotence and living entity, a suggestion is given to living entity that he has to accept only that which is set aside for him. So now 10th verse also says Lord's omnipresence in this universe. Right? So now question is, if the Lord dwells everywhere in the universe, why can't people see him? This is the next question. In answer to that, 11th verse will come. If the Lord dwells everywhere in the universe, why don't we see him? Atma avashyam idam vishwam. Atma avashyam idam vishwam. The super soul, avashyam, means he is living everywhere. Idam vishwam, in all these universes. Then why can't we see him? Answer is 11th verse. Yam pashyati na pashyantam. Chakshuryasya narishyati tambhutanilayam devam suparnam upadhavata.
Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see. For his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the super soul who always stay with the individual soul as a friend.
So answer, simple answer is yam pashyati na pashyantam chakshuryasya narishyati. He sees, but he is not seen. He will see you. He will see each and every corner of this entire cosmic manifestation. But it's not necessary that he is obliged to show himself to you. Right? All you have to do is just worship him. He is a super soul. Understand that he is the friend of the soul and then worship him. Like that. So, but it doesn't mean that one cannot see the Supreme Lord. So, Prabhupada writes a very encouraging purport. He says, one can see the Supreme Lord with the Jnana Chakshu given by the spiritual master. Kunti Maharani also says something related to this. Alaksham sarvabhutanam antar bahir avasthitam. Krishna resides everywhere, inside and outside. Antar bahir avasthitam. But alaksham sarvabhutanam. But unintelligent conditioned souls cannot see him. Right? Although he resides in every nook and corner of the entire universe, still unqualified people cannot see him. One can see the Supreme Lord everywhere through Jnana Chakshu, eyes of knowledge opened by the spiritual master. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. So Lord actually is everywhere. Right? Andantarastha Paramana Jayantarastham Govindam Adipurusham Tamham Bhajami. He is there everywhere, within the universe, within the hearts of all living entities. Even in atoms, he is there. How to understand this? Prabhupada says, simple deliberation, careful consideration, or just using little common sense will make you understand that Lord is there everywhere. We can understand the omnipresence and the proprietorship of the Supreme Lord by simple common sense and deliberation. Prabhupada says, just do an exercise. Take into account whose property is the vast ocean, land, sky, millions of stars and planets, who has made this universe. Just set aside some brain space and then think about it. Right? Who this whole mountain range is there? Who has created this? No scientist, no human being has made this. It is existing naturally since many years, hundreds of years. If you think like that, you can understand there is one supreme proprietor. Simple exercise Prabhupada gives. So many oceans are there. Right? No one has created them. Right? No human being has created them. However they existing. So we can, if we think like this, one can conclude that there is a supreme proprietor of everything. Because we lack perfect knowledge, we cannot see God. But a little deliberation can help even the most degraded person to perceive the presence of God everywhere. This requires training. Like that. And Prabhupada also explains the second half of the verse. Right? Tam bhuta nilayam devam suparanam upadhavata. Suparanam means he is a friend. Just like how the Supreme Lord is very awake and vigilant in every context. He is like the Suparanam, friend. There are two birds on the tree. There are two birds. One bird is enjoying the fruits, but the other bird is constantly witnessing. Right? He is always alert, witnessing the actions of the other bird. Like that. And Prabhupada also says, in the conditioned stage, we forget things because we change bodies. But although Lord is changing incarnations, he will not forget everything. Example is Arjuna versus Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, you and me have taken many births, but you don't remember them. I remember them. Like that. And Chakshuryasya Narishyati also means we cannot see him, but he can see us. He doesn't die when cosmic manifestation is annihilated. Like that. Sometimes sun is there in the sky. Because some cloud is coming, we cannot see him. That doesn't mean that he is not existing anymore. He is always existing, but we are unable to see him. Similarly, when Maya is there on the conditioned soul, he cannot see the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Otherwise, he can see him. Like that. So, Prabhupada writes that how to see him? By following spiritual master's instructions. Second, by studying authorized literatures. These are the two ways through which one can understand the Lord, understand God is present before us, seeing everything, although we have no eyes to see him. Like that. So we have to follow spiritual master's instructions and study authorized literatures. So essentially this is sadhana and seva. We follow the spiritual master's instructions to execute different services, and then sadhana is like a part of studying scriptures is like a part of sadhana. Something like that. So one has to do these two. seva and sadhana. So one can see Krishna in seva. So when there is when someone does efficient seva in spite of so many obstacles, one can thank Krishna. Oh Krishna, in spite of so many obstacles you made me execute this service. So one can thank Krishna, one can be grateful to Krishna. But if the service is very troublesome, there are so many other difficulties are there, one can helplessly depend on Krishna. Right? Krishna, please make me execute this service. So many difficulties are coming. So in confusion, one can pray to Krishna for direction. So in whatever way, whether in confusion or whether in obstacles, or when there are no obstacles, when there is smooth execution of service or when there is difficult execution of service, in all ways, one can perceive the presence of Krishna. In success, one can thank Krishna. In defeat, one can depend on Krishna. In confusion, one can pray to Krishna for direction. So there is always a perception of Krishna for a Krishna conscious person, like that. Even through sadhana also, hearing and chanting is there. Prabhupada many times emphasized, if you don't want to follow four regulative principles, or if you don't want to chant 16 rounds, don't take initiation. It is not good. So like that, Prabhupada, recently I was hearing that lecture, so he was saying like that. So Prabhupada, although he said you chant 16 rounds, he always emphasized a quality which is associated with those rounds. Right? You should not chant mechanically, you should also chant, feelingly. Even in one of the prayers, one of the purports to prayers of Queen Kunti, Prabhupada says, the quality of feeling matters the most. Like that. So that is like prayerful sadhana and seva. Even in the Journey Home book, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj writes that he was not seeing Krishna, he was not knowing the name of Krishna, but Maharaj writes, I am constantly in touch with him, the Supreme Personality, whoever he may be. I didn't know his name at that time, I didn't know his form at that time, but I am always conscious that some supreme force, some supreme person is just guiding me, always, like that. So one can perceive Krishna. This whole purport is about seeing Krishna. He sees, but he is not seen, in a generic sense. But for a devotee, he is visible also. Devotee can perceive the presence of Krishna in his life very much. Now, that is about the 11th verse. Now somebody may question, God is great. And how great he is explained in the 12th verse. Right? 12th verse. 12. Nayasyadyanto madhyam cha Svahparo nantaram bahi Vishvasyamuni yad yasmad Vishvam cha tadritam mahat.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning, no end, and no middle. Nor does he belong to a particular person or nation. He has no inside or outside. The duality is found within this material world, such as beginning and end, mine and theirs, are all absent from the Personality of God, Supreme Lord. The universe which emanates from him is another feature of the Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate truth, and he is complete in greatness.
So this verse is explaining the greatness of Supreme Lord, his all-pervasive feature, and that he has no material designations or dualities. So that was the theme of this verse. So Prabhupada speaks about the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So for the Lord's existence, there is no cause, for he is the cause of everything and in everything. Mayatadamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthane sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavasthitaha. So this is Achintya Bheda Bheda. He is everything, but he is not everything also. Everything is not him also, like that. So now 13th verse is also elaborating on this point of how Lord is everything. Savishvakaya puruhuta isha Satyasvayam jyotirajah purana Dhattesya janma jajayatma shaktyam Tam vidyayodasya niriha aste
The entire cosmic manifestation is the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, who has millions of names and unlimited potencies. He is self-effulgent, unborn and changeless. He is the beginning of everything, but he has no beginning. Because he has created this cosmic manifestation by his external energy, the universe appears to be created, maintained and annihilated by him. Nonetheless, he remains inactive in his spiritual energy and is untouched by the activities of the material energy.
So Lord is everything. Sa Vishwakaya. Vishwakaya means he is the form of the universe. The whole universe is the external body of the Supreme Lord. It is said like that. Sa Vishwakaya Puruhuta means he is known by so many names. Ishaha. So Puruhuta, Prabhupada explains, Lord is known by many names. Means Prabhupada speaks about the holy name of the Lord. So Nam Namakari Bahudanija Sarvashaktis. So Lord has so many names. And Lord has invested all his names with his full potency. So that's why it is said that because Lord has invested his names with full potency, we have to invest our full potency or our full energy in chanting those names. We are unable to accept that, like that. So chanting Hare Krishna means the name has all potencies of the person. We need to understand that. Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Suryate. So this is the point. Parashya Shaktir Vividhaiva Suryate. Lord has multitude of energies. Because he has a multitude of energies, he performs multifarious activities. So many energies, so many activities. So because he performs so many activities, he has so many names. Because many of his names or most of his names are a description of his activities only. He takes birth as the son of Yashoda. He is called Yashoda Nandan. Right? He is called Nanda Nandan. He is called Radha Raman. He gives pleasure to Radharani. So like that. Because he has so many energies, he does so many activities, and because he does so many activities, he has so many names relating to those activities. Like that. So yet he has a particular name. That is Krishna. So Shastras recommend which names we should chant. So we should chant Hare Krishna. It is not that we have to search for some name or manufacture one. Rather, we must follow saintly persons and Shastras in chanting the holy name. Like that. So now Prabhupada gives explanation about Lord's energies. Lord's energies are categorized into material energies and spiritual energies. So if we take shelter of the material energy, right, it is impossible to understand the Lord. Mama Maya Duratya. But we can easily understand the Supreme Lord by taking shelter of the spiritual energy. Daivim Prakriti Mashritaha. Bhaktiyamam Abhijayanati. So by taking to bhakti or Krishna consciousness that involves Ravanam and Kirtanam, we can easily understand the Supreme Lord. Like that. Lord has so many energies, we need to understand which energy to access, which energy to come in contact with. So people may have forgotten God and say that God is dead. It is not a fact. One can understand God when one takes to Krishna consciousness movement, and thus one can be happy. Prabhupada says. So now God has so many karmas, means so many activities, right? So how to understand this? So 14th verse, he says, 14th verse is very interesting. 14. Athagre rishayah karman ihante karma hetave ihamano hi purusha prayoniham prapadyate.
Therefore, to enable people to reach the stage of activities that are not tinged by fruitive result, great saints first engage people in fruitive activities. For unless one begins by performing activities as recommended in the Shastras, one can't reach the stage of liberation or activities that produces no reactions.
So, the 13th verse is speaking about Lord's various activities, right? Now 14th verse speaks about the living entities' various activities, so many karmas, right? So here the theme of this verse is there are great sages who bring the living entity or conditioned soul from karma to akarma, from engagement in fruitive activities to a platform of not doing any fruitive activities, right? So Prabhupada gives a very simple devotional purport to this. Akarma for a devotee means doing karma for Supreme Lord. Means to engage in devotional activities or acting for the satisfaction of Supreme Lord. Aniha, prayo niham prapadyate. So first one has to perform karma to come to the stage of aniha or akarma. Aniha means no fruitive activity, like that. So one is not directly eligible to do akarma. First he has to do karma to come to the stage of akarma. That is the point. Sages will engage people in karma to bring them to the stage of akarma, like that. So Prabhupada says, aniha also this word comes. Karmanyanihasya bhavo bhavasyate durgashrayothari bhayat palayanam kalatmano yat pramadayutashramaha swatman rate khidyati dhir vidamiha. Right? Uddhava says to Vidura in the third canto, karmani anihasya. So Lord is aniha. He has no inclination or desire or need to perform any karma, any activity. But he is aniha, but still he does so many activities in the household affairs. Right? So similarly, devotees are also not interested to do any material activities, but in the material world, they may have to do some activities. That's what Prabhupada says. But if those activities are done with an intention to satisfy the Supreme Lord or as service to the Supreme Lord, then he will not be entangled. Otherwise, he will be entangled. Ignarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. So material world means there is a lot of hard labor for happiness. There are only problems being created from such fruitive activities. So advice is, active persons should engage in activities of Krishna consciousness. That is called yajna. And they can gradually come to the platform of devotional service. So if we begin our activities for Vishnu's satisfaction, who is yajna purusha, who is bhoktaram yajna tapasam, then one will gradually lose one's taste for material activities. Then he will come from the platform of akarma to aniha. Like that. Atah pumbe dvidesreshta varanashrama vibhagasaha svanishtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. One cannot please Krishna by sitting idly. So one cannot directly come to the platform of akarma. You can just sit and chant like Haridas Thakur for 192 rounds, 23 hours you just chant only. One cannot do that. One has to do activities. One cannot please Krishna by sitting idly. One must act according to the directions of material world for the sake of pleasing Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then one will gradually come to the stage of pure devotional service. Now again, Prabhupada criticizes this aspect. Naishkarmya or akarma devoid of achyuta bhava is useless. Naishkarmyam apyachyuta bhava varjitam na shobhate jnanavalam niranjanam. So there is no need for immature cessation of activity. One can act. If there is no Krishna consciousness, any kind of activity, be it philanthropic, political, social, simply causes havoc, karma bandhana, bondage to material work. Right? Yes, shastra medhum usrujya vartate kama karataha na sasiddhim avapnoti na sukham na parangatim. Like that. One has to act according to the directions of Krishna and shastras and spiritual master. Like that. So naishkarmya, basically Prabhupada often equates naishkarmya to devotional service. Naishkarmya means not no karma. It is a karma or activity which is performed for Krishna. Like that. One cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. Okay, one should act for Krishna very seriously. There is no need to imitate Haridas Thakur. Like that. So this recommendation in the 14th verse is, one has to do some activity recommended in the Shastras to come to the stage of Naishkarmya or Akarma or Aniha. Right? So first perform actions in order to be free from action. A person should be, by regulated action, generally attains inaction. Now, question is, the link between 14th and 15th verses. Question is, but a person involved in actions, being surrounded by such actions, becomes bound up like an insect in a cocoon. One may become bound up. That is given in the 15th verse. Ihate Bhagavan Isho Nahitatra Visajyate Atmalabhena Purnartho Navasidati Yenutam.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in opulence by His own gain. Yet He acts as the creator, maintainer and annihilator of this material world. In spite of acting in that way, He is never entangled. Hence, devotees who follow in His footsteps are also never entangled.
The simple formula Prabhupada gives, or Swayambhumanu gives. Lord is the Lord acts as creator, maintainer and destroyer, right? But He is not entangled. It's a material activity, material creation, material maintenance of material world, destruction of material world. These are all activities which are related with matter. But He is not entangled. Although He is dealing so much with matter, He is not entangled at all. Similarly, if we follow the Supreme Lord, means His instructions or His devotees, there is no entanglement or bondage. So, 13th verse is speaking about Lord's activities, multifarious activities. 14th verse speaks about living entities' activities, right? How living entities are, when they are engaged in activity, there could be some entanglement. So, actually sages will engage them in those activities and slowly bring them to the stage of Naishkarmya or Aniha, Akarma, Karma to Akarma. So, how does that happen? 15th verse explains that by following the Supreme Lord, you will not be entangled. Although Lord does so many material activities, I mean material means, although He deals with matter so much as creator, maintainer and destroyer, He is not entangled. So, devotees also will not get entangled. So, Prabhupada's whole purport, He focuses on how one should follow the instructions of Supreme Lord. Even in this first canto, 11th chapter, this verse comes. Bhavayanastvam bhavavisvabhavana tvameva mathata suhurtpatihpita tvam sadgururna paramam cha devatam yasya anuvritya krutino bhavuvima. Anuvritya, by following your instructions, we will attain all success. Krutino bhavuvima. So one has to follow the instructions of the Lord to avoid entanglement. Prabhupada again quotes, ignarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhanah. Otherwise, he will be entangled like silkworms in cocoon. So Krishna appears to teach us how to work so that we will not be entangled in material world. So entangling in this material world is the real problem of the living entity. To come out of that entanglement, he has to work for Krishna. That is the only solution, like that. So, what does it mean to follow the instructions of Supreme Lord? Prabhupada gives simply, he gives, becoming a devotee. What is Krishna's instruction? First, man mana bhava mad bhakto. Krishna gave this instruction. You just become His devotee. That is what will save you from entanglement, like that. Yeah, before that, Prabhupada says, Supreme Lord is full in everything and we are small particles. So, there is a whole and there is a particle. There is a small portion of that whole. So, the potency or the quality of this whole and the quality of this particle or part and parcel is the same. Right? So, being part and parcel of Supreme Lord, we are also originally qualified like Krishna. But because of our minute existence, they are infected by material attraction and thus entangled. So, minute existence. Prabhupada often gives this example of fire and spark. So, the heat and light are the qualities of both fire and the fire spark. But fire spark is so minute, it can be covered. But fire cannot be covered. Like that. We must therefore, to come out of that covering, to come closer to the fire, as long as the fire spark is closer to the fire, it is glowing and then it is emanating heat and light. But if the fire spark goes away from the fire, it will be extinguished. Like that. So we must therefore follow the instructions of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, like Krishna, who is never entangled by His material activities of creation, maintenance and destruction, we will have nothing for which to lament. Like that. What was that verse? Etad ishanam ishasya prakritisthopi tad gunaihi na yunjate sadatmaste sada tada tad bhava bhavita, right? So although Supreme, this is the divinity of the Supreme Lord, right? Although He engages in material activities, He is not entangled. Similarly, devotees who follow Him will also be not entangled. So finally, the final conclusion of Swayambhumanu is everyone should follow Krishna. tam ihamanam nirahankritam budham nirashisham purnamananya choditam prabhum prapadye khila dharma bhavanam. Sorry, third line I skipped. Nrin sikshayantam nijavartma samsthitam prabhum prapadye khila dharma bhavanam.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, works just like an ordinary human being. Yet he does not desire to enjoy the fruits of work. He is full in knowledge, free from material desires and diversions, and completely independent. As the supreme teacher of human society, he teaches his own way of activities, and thus he inaugurates the real path of religion. I request everyone to follow him.
So this is Manu's instruction. So Lord is Prabhum Prapadye Akhila Dharma Bhavanam. This is how he concluded. Prabhum Prapadye, please, I request everyone to surrender unto Prabhu, Krishna. He is Akhila Dharma Bhavanam. He is the master of all religious principles or the occupational duties of a human being. Akhila Dharma Bhavanam. So this was Swamibhu Manu's request. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that the purpose of Lord's incarnation is to teach us. Yes, there are definitely internal reasons and external reasons. He comes having loving dealings with his devotees. The internal reasons for his descent are raga marga bhakti pracharan, prema rasa asvadan. So these are there. But he also comes for paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya cha dushtutam, dharma samsthapanarthaya, to teach the living entities, to establish dharma, to protect the devotees, to annihilate the miscreants. These are his activities. So the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness movement is, we are simply requesting the human society to follow in the footsteps of the teacher of Bhagavad Gita, that is Krishna. Then life will be successful. Now, Prabhupada says, Ram gave a practical example. He fought the demons. He followed father's order. He is a faithful husband, ideal king. People still hanker for Ramarajyam, right? Because Ram set a practical example. He taught all the citizens. So Krishna taught his disciple and devotee Arjuna how to lead a life ending in going back to Godhead, right? So all teachings, political, economic, social, religious, cultural, philosophical, are found in Bhagavad Gita. One has to follow them strictly. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to play the part of pure devotee. So he comes as an ideal king and sets an example of an administrator. Okay, he comes as an ideal teacher and then teaches Bhagavad Gita. And he comes as an ideal devotee also and then establishes principles of devotion by his behavior, achar. Right? So he teaches us. So Swayambhu Manu's request is, please understand from the teachings and activities of Supreme Lord and follow. Then you will go back to Godhead. Like that. So Prabhupada also explains the importance of Mahaprabhu's descent, especially Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Siksharatham etah purushah puranah. Siksharatham, to give siksha, to give training to people, Lord descended as Mahaprabhu and then showed how to practice devotion by being a devotee himself. Like that. Kripam vidhiryastam prabhu prapadye Sri Krishna Chaitanya Shariradhari. Like that. In Kali Yuga, people cannot follow Lord's instructions. So Lord himself takes part as Mahaprabhu to preach Krishna consciousness. The coherent purpose of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya is to teach human society how to be happy by following the instructions of Supreme Lord. And that is what Swayambhu Manu is requesting everyone to follow Krishna. So this is how Swayambhu Manu concluded his prayers. Just 8 prayers. We'll go through it again. In the 9th verse, Swayambhu Manu said, Supreme Lord is the creator, he is not the creator, he is not the created, he is awake in silence, he is the knower, he is not the known, right? So this is how Supreme Lord is transcendental. So after explaining the transcendental position of Supreme Lord, he, in the 10th verse, he established that everything is property of the Supreme Lord. So Super Soul is omnipresent in the universe, everything belongs to him. We just have to accept our quota and not encroach upon others' quota. And in the 11th verse he said, 10th verse he said, Super Soul is omnipresent in the universe. 11th verse he said, if he is everywhere, why can't we see him? Answer is, yes, he sees everything, but unqualified people cannot see him. He is not seen also. What we need to do is worship him as Super Soul, as friend of soul. Then 12th verse, he said, 11th verse he said, God is great, he is not seen. But in 12th verse he said, how great he is. He explained the all-pervasive feature of the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord has no material designations or material dualities. Then in the 13th verse, he again said, Lord is everything. He has multifarious energies. Because he has multifarious energies, he has multifarious activities. Because he has multifarious activities, he has so many names. Right? So, 13th verse is explaining that Lord is everything and he does so many activities. Now, 14th verse explains how the sages bring a living entity from akarma, karma to akarma or niriha. Right? How does it happen? 15th verse explains. Just like Supreme Lord, although he does so many activities with his so many energies, yet he is not entangled. Similarly, one who follows the Supreme Lord also will not be entangled in spite of doing so many material activities. So, in the 16th verse he says, everyone should follow the Lord. Simple. Now, 17th verse. Sri Shuka Uvacha Iti Mantropa Nishadam Vyaharantam Samahitam Drishtva Asura Yatu Dhana Jagdhum Abhyadharam Kshuda.
Sukhdev Goswami continued, Swayambhu Manu was thus in a trance, chanting the mantras of Vedic instructions known as the Upanishads. Upon seeing him, the Rakshasas and Asuras, being very hungry, wanted to devour him. Therefore, they ran after him with great speed.
So, Swayambhu Manu is performing his austerities. He was in trance. Right? He was chanting Upanishadic mantras. Then some Rakshasas came and attacked him. They wanted to devour him. They were thinking that he is a helpless man in deep sleep. But he was just meditating. He was in trance. They thought that he was a helpless man in deep sleep. So they came to attack him. Now, 18th verse. Tamstathavasitan vikshya yagnasarvagato hari yamai parivrito devair hatvasasad trivashtapam.
The Supreme Lord Vishnu, who sits in everyone's heart, appearing as Yajnapati, observed that the Rakshasas and demons were going to devour Swayambhu Manu. Thus the Lord, accompanied by his sons named the Yamas and by all the other demigods, killed the demons and the Rakshasas. He then took the post of Indra and began to rule the heavenly kingdom.
Actually, Sukadeva Goswami began in the third verse saying that I have explained to you about the Swayambhu Manu dynasty. Then, in Swayambhu Manu's dynasty, Lord appeared as Yajnamurti and Kapila, as the sons of Akuti and Devahuti respectively. Kapila's activities I already described. I will now describe about the Yajnamurti's activities. So actually, he wanted to describe Yajnamurti's activities. So till now, he was explaining some events leading to the main activity of Yajnamurti. What was his main activity? He protected Swayambhu Manu from these Rakshasas and then he took the post of Indra. So in what context he protected Swayambhu Manu? When he was in trance, after his renunciation, after chanting all these prayers. Right? He was just describing the events there. Okay? So he took the post of Indra. That is 18th verse. Now 19th verse. From 19th verse till I think 30th verse, there is a description of the first four Manus. So, before entering that, we will just discuss this verse. This is from 11th canto, 12th canto, six elements of a Manvantara. You can see the slide. Manvantaram Manur Deva, Manuputra Sureshwara, Rushayomsa Avatarascha, Hare Shad Vidham Uchyate. So this is the 12th canto verse, 7th chapter, 15th verse. So manvantaram, in a manvantara, there are six elements. That is Manu, Deva, demigods, Manuputra, sons of Manu, like Uttanapad and Priyavrat, etc. Then fourth is Sureshwaraha, the king of demigods, Rishayaha, the prominent sages, seven sages. Then Amshavataraha, so Lord's incarnation. These are the six elements of a manvantara. So these six elements are existing in every manvantara. There are Hare Shadvidham Uchyate. They are all different expansions of the Supreme Lord only. Right? So these are six elements of four manvantaras are given in this chapter. The six elements of all 14 manvantaras is given throughout the 8th canto. And in the middle, different stories come up. Like Gajendra story will come. As we discussed, as the fourth, the six elements of fourth manvantara, Sukadeva Goswami is describing. Then Parikshit Maharaj immediately said, I want to know the activity of that fourth manvantara Lord, Hari, who protected Gajendra. So, three chapters go there. Then Samudra Manthan, seven chapters go there. Bali Maharaj, eight chapters will go there. That's how eighth canto is expanded. So now, please read the translations from 19th verse. And then relate the whole thing to the table. So, the next 14 verses, 15 verses are just this table. Yeah, 19th verse. The son of Agni named Svarochisha became the second Manu. Now, first Manvantara, it's clear, right? So far, first Manu is Swayambhu Manu. His sons are Uttanapad and Priyavrat, Manuputra. The Devas are Yamas. Then the Sureshwara is Yajna, just now we read about him. Then the Rishis are Marichi, etc. They are the chief sages. Then Amshavatara is the Yajna Dev, Yajnamurti and Kapil Dev. What were their activities? Preaching religion and knowledge, like that. Okay. Then Yajna also, Yajna and his sons and demigods, they killed the demons, right, who were attacking Swayambhu Manu. So this is their activity. From second Manvantara onwards till fourth Manvantara, is given in 8.1.19-30. Please read the translations.
The son of Agni named Svarochisha became the second Manu. Mm. His several sons were headed by Dyumat, Sushena and Rochishmat. Mm. During the reign of Svarochisha, the post of Indra was assumed by Rochanan, the son of Yajna. Tusita and others became the principal demigods, and Urja, Stamba and other became the seven saints. All of them were faithful devotees of the Lord.
So whenever you see the three dots, that means these three names are given and others are also there, etc. Mm.
Vedashira was a very celebrated rishi. From the womb of his wife, whose name was Tushita, came the avatar named Vibhu. Vibhu remained a brahmachari and never married throughout his life. From him, 88,000 other saintly persons took lessons on self-control, austerity and similar behavior. O king, the third Manu, Uttama, was the son of King Priyavrata. Among the sons of this Manu were Pavana, Sanjaya and Yajnahotra. During the reign of the third Manu, Pramada and other sons of Vashishta became the seven sages. The Satyas, Vedasrutas and Bhadras became demigods, and Satyajit was selected to be Indra, the king of heaven. In this Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Sanrata, who was the wife of Dharma, the demigod in charge of religion. The Lord was celebrated as Satyasen, and he appeared with other demigods known as Satyavratas. Satyasen, along with his friend Satyajit, who was the king of heaven, Indra, killed all the untruthful, impious and misbehaved yakshas, rakshasas and ghostly living entities who gave pains to other living beings. The brother of the third Manu, Uttama, was celebrated by the name Tamasa, and he became the fourth Manu. Tamasa had 10 sons headed by Prithu, Khyati, Nara and Ketu. During the reign of Tamas Manu, among the demigods were the Satyakas, Haris and Viras. The heavenly king Indra was Trishika. The sages in the Saptarishi Dham were headed by Jyotirdhama. O king, in the Tamasa Manvantara, the sons of Vidruti, who were known as the Vaidrutis, also became demigods. Since in course of time the Vedic authority was lost, these demigods by their own powers protected the Vedic authority. Also in this Manvantara, the Supreme Lord Vishnu took birth from the womb of Harini, the wife of Hari Medha, and he was known as Hari. Hari saved his devotee Gajendra, the king of elephants, from the mouth of a crocodile.
So in the 29th purport, there is a mention that it is the duty of demigods and kings and other governmental officials to give protection to the Vedic authority. Right? So when Vedic authority is lost, it is the universe become chaotic. So they have to protect. So that is related to the activity mentioned in 29th verse. So in the 30th verse, our Sukadeva Goswami is explaining about the incarnation, Amshavatara, of the fourth Manvantara, Tamasa Manvantara. So that is Lord Hari, who became the son of Harini and Harimedha. Not many details are given about these personalities. But the activity which is done by this Lord Hari is saving Gajendra from crocodile. So Parikshit Maharaj became inquisitive at this point. 31. Shri Rajo Ruvacha Bhatarayana Etatte Shrotumicha Mahevayam Haririyatha Gajapatim Grahagrastam Amunchavat.
King Parikshit said, "My Lord Bhadrayani, we wish to hear from you in detail how the king of the elephants, when attacked by a crocodile, was delivered by Hari."
Tatkathasu mahat punyam dhanyam swastyayanam shubham yatra yatrottama shloko bhagavan giyate Hari.
Any literature or narration in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka, is described and glorified is certainly great, pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good.
So, very nice verse. Tat kathasu mahat punyam dhanyam swastyayanam shubham. So, Lord's katha, Lord Hari's katha, protecting Gajendra here. Tat kathasu mahat punyam. It is very pious. Dhanyam, very glorious. Swastyayanam, very auspicious. Shubham, okay, very all good. It is causing all good. So that is the nature of this activity of Lord Hari. So yatra yatrottama shloko bhagavan giyate Harihi. So this is described by great saintly persons also. Giyate, bhagavan giyate Harihi. So like that, before even hearing the pastime, he is glorifying the activities of Lord Hari. So Prabhupada nicely writes in the purport that Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world simply by describing Krishna, by book distribution. We are publishing books like C.C., Bhagavad Gita, N.O.D., Bhagavatam. So whenever a speaker holds discourses from these books and an audience hears him, this will create a good and auspicious situation. Dhanyam swastyayanam shubham mahatpunyam. Because they are mahatpunyam and dhanyam, they can cause swastyayanam and shubham. Therefore, the preaching of Krishna consciousness must be done very carefully by the members, especially sannyasis. This will create an auspicious atmosphere. Shri Suta Uvacha Parikshitaivam Satubadarayana Prayopavishtena Kathasu Chodita Uvacha Vipra Pratinandya Parthivam Mudamuninam Sadasisma Srinvatam.
Shri Sud Goswami said, "O Brahmanas, when Parikshit Maharaj, who was awaiting impending death, thus requested Sukhdev Goswami to speak, Sukhdev Goswami, encouraged by the king's words, offered respect to the king and spoke with great pleasure in the assembly of sages who desired to hear him."
So Sukadeva Goswami is offering respects to Parikshit Maharaj, right, for this kind of question, and spoke with great pleasure. Uvacha vipraha pratinandya parthivam mudamuninam sadasisma srinvatam. Mudamuninam, he was extremely happy to be able to describe this pastime. So we'll take a short break and then we will discuss second chapter, Gajendra. So 2, 3 and 4. 3 is like the heart of this whole Gajendra episode. Gajendra's prayers are there. Beautiful. That we'll discuss tomorrow. Today we'll discuss the prelude to that second chapter. Hare Krishna. So, second chapter, text number 1. Sri Shuka Uvacha Asit Giravo Rajams Asit Girivaro Rajams Trikuta Iti Visruta Kshirodena Vrita Sriman Yojana Yutam Uchita.
Sukhdev Goswami said, "My dear king, there is a very large mountain called Trikuta. It is 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles high. Being surrounded by the ocean of milk, it is very beautifully situated."
So this chapter first gives a description of the Trikuta mountain and Ritumat garden and all the vegetation, flora and fauna there. And Gajendra enters into this Ritumat garden in the Trikuta mountain. Then we have this crocodile attacking Gajendra, and Gajendra introspects in difficulty. Gajendra will get the previous remembrance of some devotional prayers that he has memorized in the previous birth. So that's how this chapter ends. Very short chapter and not many purports. This is just description. 27, sorry. Okay. Second verse. Tavata Vistruta Paryak Tribhis Sringai Payonidhim Dishakam Rojayan Aste Raupya Raupyayasa Hiranmayaihi Anyaischa Kakubha Sarva Ratnadhatu Vichitrayataihi Nana Drumalata Gulmair Nirghoshair Nirjitam Shabham Tamhasam.
The length and breadth of the mountain are of the same measurement, 80,000 miles. Its three principal peaks, which are made of iron, silver and gold, beautify all directions and the sky. The mountain also has other peaks, which are full of jewels and minerals and are decorated with nice trees, creepers and shrubs. The sounds of the waterfalls on the mountain created a pleasing vibration. In this way, the mountain stands, increasing the beauty of all directions.
Not sure bro. Kraunchadweep. Okay. That is also Trikuta mountain. Yeah. Salt ocean. This is mentioned Trikuta mountain, heavenly planets. Some heavenly planets is there. Not sure. 4. Sachavanijyamanangri samantat paya urmibhi karoti shyamalam bhumim harin marakatam sabhi.
The ground at the foot of the mountain is always washed by the waves of milk that produce emeralds all around in the eight directions, north, south, east, west, and the directions midway between them.
Hmm. So here in this purport, Prabhupada is writing about the wonderful material nature as Supreme Lord's creation. So there are different oceans, milk ocean, liquor ocean, ghee ocean, sweet water ocean. We saw in the structure of Jambudvipa in the next verses, all the Bhumandala. So no one has the ability to imitate the activities of material nature as conducted by Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. So Prakriti works under the superintendence of Supreme Lord and then manifests so many varieties in this creation. So no one can imitate them. No one can create another Trikuta mountain as nice as this, milk ocean, etc. As ordinary men may... next verse, fifth verse. Siddhacharana Gandharvai Vidyadhara Mahoragaihi Kinnarair Apsarobhischa Krida Kridadbhir Jusha Kandara.
The inhabitants of the higher planets, the Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Serpents, Kinnaras, Apsaras, go to that mountain to sport. Thus, all the caves of the mountain are full of those denizens of the heavenly planets.
Mm. So, Prabhupada says that all the higher planetary system people, Apsaras and other residents, they go and play in the water of ocean of milk. Just like ordinary men play in salty ocean, higher planetary system people play in milk ocean. Right? So now, by hearing this, somebody may not believe. How can you play in milk? It's sticky and then you don't feel like entering a, you know, milk ocean. If some milk falls on your hands, you try to wash it away. Like that. But those planetary system people, they will say, how can they enter saltwater ocean? Right? How can they bear the touch of salt water? So that is their perception. Like that. So Prabhupada, in the previous purport, he said that modern scientists cannot give us full information about any planet, even the planet on which they live. So they are like big animals, Prabhupada says. So higher planetary systems also have a lot of variety. There are human beings, animals, trees, elephants, crocodiles, land made of emeralds. There is lot of variety there. Keshava Tuya Jagata Vichitra. Right? There is a lot of variety there, but modern scientists cannot understand it. Yatra Sangeeta Sannadair Nadad Guham Amarshaya Abhigarjanti Haraya Shlaghinaha Parasankhya.
Because of the resounding vibrations of the denizens of heaven singing in the caves, the lions there, being very proud of their strength, roar with unbearable envy, thinking that another lion is roaring in that way.
Mm. So there is some envy and pride in the roars of lions also. Right? They hear their own resound sometimes and then they think that another lion is there. Okay? Some lion just sees its reflection in the water and then it's also holding a piece of flesh in the mouth and then it becomes envious and then loses this flesh also by shouting at that lion. So this kind of envy exists not only in human beings, envy exists even in animals also. Envy exists not only in this earthly planet, it exists in the higher planetary systems also, right? Even amongst animals. So, but... that envy is not existing in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha planets, right? So paravatanya dhritasarasa chakravaka datyuha hamsa sukatittir barhinam va kolahalo viramate chiramatra mucchir bhringadipe harikatham ivagayamane. Even when a bumblebee sings something that resembles Krishna katha, all the other birds will allow him to sing. But here even lines also become very insecure when some other line comes there. Like that is the nature of this material world. In this sixth purport, Prabhupada speaks other interesting things also, that geologists, botanists, they speculate, but unable to estimate the varieties on other planets. They falsely imagine that other planets are vacant, uninhabited, full of dust. So yet, they are very proud of their knowledge. Prabhupada, several times he criticizes in his lectures, nobody went to moon. How can they go to moon? They are going to some other planet and then coming here. If they go to moon, why should they come back only with dust, right? There are better facilities for enjoyment on the moon planet, like that. So materialistic leaders are praised by dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Shvavidvarahashtrakarehi samsuta purushah pasu nayat karna pathopeto jatu nama gadagrajah. So Shvavidvarahashtra, they are materialistic leaders are compared to dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. They are like big animals. One should not be satisfied with the knowledge imparted by a big animal. Rather, one should take knowledge from a perfect person like Sukadeva Goswami and follow their instructions. Mahajano yena gata sapantha. Whatever he says, we should consider it to be fact. That is perfect knowledge. So knowledge is that which is acquired from a devotee. That's what Prabhupada emphasizes here. That's why we need to read Prabhupada books and Vaishnava literatures. Even in the fifth canto also, Prabhupada says there are so many mountains there in the context of different mountain ranges that are there in the Jambudvipa. Prabhupada writes, the modern scientists, the modern man cannot even understand the length and breadth of these small mountains in this planet only. How can they fathom the height and extent of other mountains? So we cannot verify the statements of Bhagavatam. We cannot disprove the statements of Bhagavatam. Better, we have to follow the statements as it is. That was Prabhupada's suggestion there. Right? So so many mountains are there. Can you disprove it? No. Better accept it. They are coming from authoritative sources. Like that. Next, seventh verse. Nanaranya pasu vrata sankuladronyalankrita chitradrumasuro dhyana kalakantha vighangatama vihangama.
The valleys beneath Trikut Mountain are beautifully decorated by many varieties of jungle animals. And in the trees which are maintained in gardens by the demigods, varieties of birds chirp with sweet voices.
Saritsarobhir achodehi pulinair manivaluka manivalukaihi devastri majjana moda saurabham van anilair yuta.
Trikut Mountain has many lakes and rivers with beaches covered by small gems resembling grains of sand. The water is as clear as crystal, and when the demigod themselves bathe in it, their bodies lend fragrance to the water and the breeze, thus enriching the atmosphere.
Hmm. So heavenly damsels are there, they take bath and the water becomes fragrant. Prabhupada says in this material world, even the most beautiful ladies, they need external fragrances to subdue their bodily bad odors. Right? But demigod damsels, their bodies can make the entire atmosphere of the mountain Trikuta fragrant. So that is the difference between the damsels here and there. So since the bodies of the damsels in upper planetary systems are so beautiful like that, you can only imagine what is the beauty of damsels in Vaikuntha and Goloka. Right, they are transcendental beauty. So Prabhupada gives a comparison between these ladies and those transcendental ladies. So beauty of Vaikuntha damsels also described in third canto. Yat sankalana haripadayate matra drushtair vaidhurya marakata hemamayir vimane esham bruhat kati tatasmita shobhimukhya krishnatmanam na raja adhadurusmayadjer. So because of their absorption, krishnatmanam na raja adhadurusmayadjer. Although there is access and association of beautiful opposite sex, still that doesn't lead to agitation of agitation of their senses in their association, because of krishnatmanam, they are totally absorbed in Krishna. So but their absorption is not in damsel's beauty but in Krishna, although there is the association of the beauty. So we need to understand at our level, at Vaikunthavasi's level, there is no distraction from the beauty. Second, there is full absorption. Now, even if we don't have access to that kind of beauty also, when we don't have access to that kind of distracting elements also, still we cannot be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Right? There, even in the presence of a distracting element, their absorption is intact. Here, even in the absence of a distracting element, our absorption is not intact. Our absorption is disturbed. What to speak of when there is a distracting element? So our endeavor is not only to increase our absorption in Krishna, it should also be an endeavor to stay away from the distracting elements also in this material world, like that. So absence of a distracting element doesn't mean one will be absorbed also. So that's one thing. So now from the 9th verse till 19th verse, we have the description of Ritmat garden. So in the Trikota mountain area, there is a garden which is called Ritmat. The details are described in these verses. Tasyadronya bhagavato varunasya mahatmanah udyanam ritumat nama akridam surayoshitam sarvatolankritam daivair divyair nitya pushpa faladrumaihi mandarai parijataischa patalashoka champakaihi chutaihi pialair panashair amrair amrakatair api Kramukair narile narikelaischa Karjurai bijapulakaihi Madhukai shalatayatalaischa Tamalair asanarjunaihi Aristodumam aristodumbara plakshair Vataihi Kimshuka Chandanaihi Pichumardaihi Kovidaraihi Saralaihi Suradarubhi Darukeshurambha Jambubir Bhadraksha Bhyayam Malakai Malaihi.
In a valley of Trikot mountain, there was a garden called Ritumat. This garden belonged to the great devotee Varun and was a sporting place for the damsels of the demigods. Flowers and fruits grew there in all seasons. Among them were mandaras, parijatas, patalas, ashokas, champakas, chutas, pialas, panasas, mangoes, amratakas, Kramukas, coconut trees, date trees and pomegranates. There were madhukas, palm trees, tamalas, asanas, arjunas, arishtas, udumbaras, plakshas, banyan trees, kimshukas and sandalwood trees. There were also pichumardas, kovidaras, saralas, suradarus, grapes, sugarcane, bananas, jambu, badaris, akshas, Abhayas Amalakis.
Bilvaihi Kapithair Jambirair Vrito bhallata kadibhi Tasmin sarah suvipulam Lasatkanchana pankajam Kumudotpala kahlara Shatapatra sriyojitam Mattashatpada nirgashtam Shakuntaischa kalasvanaihi Hamsakarana hamsakaranda vakiram Chakrahvaihi sharasairapi Jalakukuta kushyasti koyasti Datyuha kala kujitam Matshakachapa sanchara Chalatpadma rajahpayo Kadamba vetasa nala Nipavanjula kairvritam Kundai kurubhakakshokaihi Sarishaihi kutajengagaihi Kubjakaihi Swarna yuthibhir Nagapunna gajatibhi Mallika satapatraischa Madhavi jalakadibhi Shobhitam tira jaischanyair Nityartubhir alam drumaihi.
In that garden, there was a very large lake filled with shining golden lotus flowers. And the flowers known as Kumud, Kahlara, Utpal, Shatapatra, which added excellent beauty to the mountain. There were also Bilva, Kapita, Jambira, Bhallatak trees. Intoxicated bumblebees drank honey and hummed with the chirping of the birds, whose songs were very melodious. The lake was crowded with swans, karandavas, chakravakas, cranes, and flocks of water chickens, datyuhas, koyashtis, and other murmuring birds. Because of the agitating movements of the fish and tortoises, the water was decorated with pollen that had fallen from the lotus flowers. The lake was surrounded by kadamba flowers, vetasa flowers, nalas, nipas, Vanjulakas, Kundas, Kurubakas, Ashokas, Shirishas, Kutajas, Ingudas, Kubjakas, Swarnayuthis, Nagas, Punnagas, Jatis, Mallikas, Shatpatras, Jalakas, and Madhavi Latas. The banks were also abundantly adorned with varieties of trees that yielded flowers and fruits in all seasons. Thus, the entire mountain stood gloriously decorated.
So, this is a long description about the garden, Ritumat garden, in the Trikota mountain range. Prabhupada says that Srimad Bhagavatam gives full knowledge about material world and spiritual world. There is so much variety in this within this material world also, so many universes are there. So, Bhagavatam gives authoritative information about all of them. There are many wonders on other planets. 2 million types of trees are there. And not all of them are exhibited on Earth. So, there is no need to go anywhere. Bhagavatam can give full information about this entire universe. Now, 20th verse till 26th verse describe the hero Gajendra's entry into this Ritumat garden lake. There is a lake there. So, Gajendra will enter. Tatraikada tadgirika ananashraya Karenubhirvarana yutha pascharan Sakantakam ki chakavenu vetravad Vishalagulmam prarujan vanaspatin.
The leader of the elephants who lived in the forest of the mountain Trikuta once wandered toward the lake with his female elephants. He broke many plants, creepers, thickets and trees, not caring for their piercing thorns.
So From here, the main description of Gajendra's attack by crocodile and his prayers are given. So I'll share some points from His Holiness Radhanaswami's lectures on this Gajendra episode. So Maharaj says that this is the nature of this material existence, that when the conditioned soul is entangled in certain body, the tendency is to forget everything except one's identity with that body. So Gajendra, although he was Indradyumna, he is a king in the previous life, at this point of time, Gajendra is totally absorbed in his identity with this body. He is totally enjoying there. So why people don't remember past lives? Although they have experienced it, they don't remember. And even within this life also, we don't remember the incidents that happened few days back or few years back. That is total absorption in the current situation of life. Right? So I am this body and everything related to this body are mine. And this kind of ego just clings so strongly that things of past life or past, even within this life, the past incidents, they are like totally forgotten. So they are within our minds. They are within our minds but are forgotten. Like that. So Gajendra is totally absorbed in his identity as an elephant in this context. Now, the sex aspect of Gajendra's personality is mentioned in the 20th verse, that he was wandering with so many female elephants, female companions. Right? Now, 21st verse. Actually, Gajendra was thoroughly convinced at this point that he was an elephant and there was no other identity for him. So everything was just so right in his life. He was living in a most heavenly abode, most wonderful family, so many female companions, elephants. Then everyone respected him. He was an unparalleled king of elephants. So, but however comfortable may be one situation in this material world, within a moment, that can be changed. The whole situation can be just turned into the most disastrous incident. That is the nature of this world. Okay, some disaster will happen, whoever one may be. Gajendra seems to be the most powerful elephant there. But disaster happened. So even in the case of Uttanapad, once Radhanath Maharaj said that whoever you may be, whether you take the side of this person or the other person, or you remain neutral, you will be implicated. If you take the side of person A or person B who are on the opposite sides, there could be some implication. Even if you remain neutral also, one will be implicated. Right? That is Uttanapada's case. He just kept silent there. So a whole incident is happening between Suruchi and Dhruva, but Uttanapada remaining neutral also, he became implicated. So like that. That is the nature of this material world. One cannot escape entanglement in some network or the other. He cannot escape entanglement in this material world. So no one, even Gajendra's wildest dreams, he or his wives never thought that this kind of situation may happen in Gajendra's life. He was so powerful. His power strength will be described in the next few verses. 21st verse. Yadgandhamatrad dharayo Gajendra Vyaghradayo Vyalamruga Sakhadga Mahoragascha Pibhayad Dravanti Sagaura Krishna Shabaras Chamarya.
Simply by catching scent of that elephant, all the other elephants, the tigers and the other ferocious animals, such as lions, rhinoceros, great serpents and black and white sarbas fled in fear. The chamari deer also fled.
This is the power of Gajendra. Power, career, wealth. So these people become proud of these things, right? So Gajendra, even in the previous verse also that is described, Gajendra broke many plants, creepers, thickets, trees, not caring for any piercing thorns also. That shows Gajendra's power. Now, 21st verse is showing Gajendra's influence here. Yad gandha matrad dharayo Gajendra Gandha Matra, just by catching the scent of Gajendra, as Gajendra is coming, some kind of fragrance or smell or something, okay, the Gandha will just come. By seeing that, everyone will become Dravanti, running away. Who are all there? Vyaghradayo, Vyala Mrugah, Sakhadga, so the rhinoceros, tigers, and other ferocious animals, all of them just run away. Just by catching the scent of Gajendra. That is the influence of Gajendra. 22nd verse describes the prestige of Gajendra. Vrakavaraha Mahishar Kashalya Gopuchyashala Vrakamarkatascha Anyatra Kshudra Harina Shashadayas Charantya Bhita Yadanugrahena.
By the mercy of this elephant, animals like the foxes, wolves, buffaloes, bears, boars, gopuchas, porcupines, monkeys, rabbits and the other deer and many other small animals loitered elsewhere in the forest. They were not afraid of him.
So by the mercy, causeless mercy of Gajendra, all other animals are surviving. Charanti abhita yad anugrahena. They are wandering fearlessly, means they are actually fearful of Gajendra, but because of Gajendra's mercy, they attained the stage of fearlessly wandering. Right? Otherwise, they are fearful of Gajendra, like that. By his mercy, animals like foxes and other smaller animals, they loitered elsewhere without fear, like that. So all animals were practically controlled by this elephant king, yet although they could move without fear, because of respect, they do not stand in front of him, like that. So Gajendra was living in a most comfortable situation that which any materialistic person would consider an ideal life in every possible way, right? He is just quite proud of his power, reputation, ability to control things, right? Gajendra had all this at his disposal. We can just apply this comfortable position of this king of animals to a human being. He will also feel like that. Okay, no one can say anything to me. 23rd. Sagharma tapta karibhi karenubhir vrito madachyut karabhair anudruta girim girim na parita prakampayan Nishevyamano likulair madashanehi Saronilam pankajare nurushitam Jighran viduran madavihvalekshana Vrtasvayuthena tada tashardhitena tat Sarovarabhyasam athagamadrutam.
Surrounded by the herds, other elephants, including females, and followed by the young ones, Gajapati, the leader of the elephants, made Trikut Mountain tremble all around because of the weight of his body. He was perspiring, liquid dripped from his mouth, and his vision was overwhelmed by intoxication. He was being served by bumblebees who drank honey, and from a distance he could smell the dust of the lotus flowers which was carried from the lake by the breeze. Thus surrounded by his associates who were afflicted by thirst, he soon arrived at the bank of the lake.
So he arrived at the bank of the lake. In the 25th verse, Vighayatasmin amritambu nirmalam Hemaravindotpalarenu rushitam Papaunikamam nijapushka pushkarodhartam Atmanamadbhihisnapayangataklama.
The king of the elephants entered the lake, bathed thoroughly, and was relieved of his fatigue. Then, with the aid of his trunk he drank the cold, clear, nectarine water, which was mixed with the dust of lotus flowers and water lilies, until he was fully satisfied.
So this was his condition. And Gajendra's attachment to family under the influence of Maya is described in the next verse. He is like exactly like a materialistic human being. Right? You can compare his position like that. Sapushkareno dhruta si karambubhir nipayayan sam snapayan yatha grihi ghrinikarenu karabhams chadurmado nachashtakrucharam kripanoja mayaya.
Like a human being who lacks spiritual knowledge and is too attached to the members of his family, the elephant, being illusioned by the external energy of Krishna, had his wives and children bathe and drink the water. Indeed, he raised water from the lake with his trunk and sprayed it over them. He did not mind the hard labor involved in this endeavor.
See, like a human being who lacks spiritual knowledge, Grahamedi, he is too attached to family, being illusioned by external energy of Krishna, had his wives and children bathe and drink water. So he just serves. You see some families coming to some picnics or some hotels, right? He's like too much assisting the family, right? Ordering something, some items and serving them, and then child will just do something and then he will just clean the mouth of the child. So all this. Okay, child says, I want to go to toilet, and then he has to take him there. Here he is bathing also. Indeed, he raised the water from his lake with his own trunk and sprayed it over them. He did not mind the hard labor involved in this endeavor. So much absorption in the bodily conception and material life, people wouldn't mind what happens. Somebody questioned Prabhupada, what is the problem in becoming a dog? The problem, you will become a dog in your next level. But they said, what is the problem? So they couldn't understand that also. That animal life is so horrible. Now 27th verse onwards, there is a description of how, by the will of providence, crocodile attacked Gajendra. Tam tatra kaschin rupadai vachodito. Tam tatra kaschin rupadai vachodito graho baliyam charaneru shagrahit yadruchayaivam vyasanam gato gajo yathavalam sa tilabo vichakrami.
By the arrangement of providence, O king, a strong crocodile was angry at the elephant and attacked the elephant's leg in the water. The elephant was certainly strong and he tried his best to get free from this danger sent by providence.
This is sent by providence. Tam tatra kaschin rupa daiva chodito yadrichayavam. This is all sent by providence. Why? Just to bring Indradumna back to devotion. Like that. So Tathaturam yothapatim karenavo vikrishyamanam tarasabaliyasa vichakrushur dinadhiyo paregajah parshnigrahastara yitum na chakshan chasasakan.
Thereafter, seeing Gajendra in that grave condition, his wives felt very, very sorry and began to cry. The other elephants wanted to help Gajendra, but because of the crocodile's great strength, they could not rescue him by grasping him from behind.
So, inspired by providence, crocodile cut his leg. Maharaj says, in Bombay, even a mosquito can be a crocodile. Or somebody is coughing and then his virus can spread. That can act like a crocodile. Right? So, Maya can present trouble in any form. okay, to trouble the living entity, and no one can protect him. Your wives are just, they become sorry and they're just crying. They couldn't do anything to make the situation better. Other elephants also could not rescue the, Gajendra from this crocodile. 29th verse. Niyudhyator evam ibhedra nakrayor vikarshator antarato bahirmati samasahasram vyagamam mahipate sapranayoschitram amamsatamaraha.
O elephant, the king and the crocodile fought in this way, pulling one another in and out of the water for 1,000 years. Upon seeing the fight, the demigods were very surprised.
Demigods are surprised. Crocodile and this elephant fight. So Gajendra must be thinking, Maharaj explains, Gajendra must have thought that this crocodile will let me go after some time. Right? We'll fight for half an hour, 1 hour, and then it may just leave me. And just despite all his hopes and all his efforts to come out of the clutches of Gajendra, 1,000 years passed, crocodile did not leave him. Even after 1,000 years, crocodile did not leave him. So Maharaj says, this is how Maya functions for everyone. She wouldn't let go, right? No matter whatever we do. So like that, sometimes one may think that, okay, this situation may be temporary and then I will come out of the problem. So yes, the problem is temporary, but our entanglement in the problem could be permanent. But the flavor of the problems may change, but the problem will remain continuously. So like that, one cannot expect that Maya will leave me one day. One has to do some endeavor. Ultimately, the main thing is to take shelter of Krishna, as Gajendra exemplified here. 30th verse gives a comparison of the relative conditions of Gajendra and crocodile. Very important verse and purport. Tato Gajendrasya mano balaujasam kalena dirghena mahan abhudyaya vikrishyamanasya jale vasidatu viparyayo bhut sakalam jalaukasa.
Thereafter, because of being pulled into the water and fighting for many long years, the elephant became diminished in his mental, physical and sensual strength. The crocodile, on the contrary, being an animal of the water, increased in enthusiasm, physical strength and sensual power.
So, one thing is indicated here, there is something called sthanabalam, right? Even in a forest, even if there is a lion or, you know, some great military army officer or whatever who can kill so many soldiers there, if he goes into the forest to catch a rat, he will not be able to do a good job of it. For a rat, the place in the forest, just hiding under some, you know, trees or something like that, he's expert there. No one can do anything there. So the even one's strength, physical strength or intellectual strength in this material world, is very conditional. I am very intelligent. Star conditions apply. I am intelligent in these areas only. Somebody may be an expert in managing such and such things. If he is put in, if the same manager is put in some other place, he won't be able to function properly. Right? Somebody may have very great physical strength. He can lift so many things. But some other skill set is required for it to do some other activity. So once strength will not, one's physical or mental strength will not be able to help him, save him. And here relative conditions of Gajendra and crocodile are explained, because Gajendra, although he is a powerful elephant, Gajendra is in a foreign place. In 1,000 years of fighting without food, his bodily strength diminished, mind became weak, senses became weak. But crocodile, on the other hand, because it's a water animal, there were no difficulties. It's getting food, then mental strength and sensual encouragement, everything is increasing on the part of Gajendra, crocodile. But Gajendra, it is diminishing. So Prabhupada gives a brilliant purport, very important purport for all the practitioners. He says, this is war against Maya, right? One has to fight from wherever he is. If he is unable to fight at one place, he can change the place and then fight from there. That is the theme of the whole purport. Prabhupada says, the lesson for us is, if our fight with Maya, in our fight with Maya, we should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. We can go to some place, for example, we have to have class here. Although that is a very good place outside terrace, we can't sit there in summer. That may be suitable for winter. So sitting under the roof would be a better position to have the katha very smoothly, comfortably. So, but idea is to have katha, have the class. Okay, where we are having could be detailed, we can find out some comfortable place to have the katha. So here Prabhupada says, our Krishna conscious movement has actually declared war against illusory energy in which all the living entities are rotting in a false understanding of civilization. Soldiers in Krishna consciousness movement must always possess physical strength, enthusiasm and sensual power. So these are needed for someone to practice his devotional service. Some enthusiasm, some strength and some sensual power are needed. If we are in a place where these three are getting diminished or these three are not getting nourished, then better to leave that place and go to some other place. So mainly this is relating to the ashrams. To keep themselves fit, they must therefore place themselves in a normal condition of life. What constitutes a normal condition will not be same for everyone. Very important point. And therefore, there are divisions of varnashram. So one has to place oneself in a normal condition of life. For example, somebody can sit under fan, somebody cannot sit under fan. That is not normal. Fanatic, non-fanatic, we have zones. Right? Somebody can eat spicy food, somebody cannot eat spicy food. Spicy, non-spicy we have. Right? So normal condition is not same for everyone. Right? So that's why there is absolutely no point in comparing oneself with others. Right? In terms of performance. One may do less, one may do more. It depends on his capacity. Just like Sachidulal Prabhu may lift so much luggage and then bring here, not everyone can attempt. Right? So one need not compare. So one has to fight from wherever one is. So the point Prabhupada is making here is, we have given sannyas to very young boys and actually we understood that they are not very much fit or meant for sannyas. So if one finds himself not suitable to set an ashram of a renounced order, it's not a problem. He can change. If one is so sensually agitated, he can better enter grihastha ashram instead of maintaining himself in the renounced order, right? That one has been forced to be very weak in one place does not mean that he could stop fighting the crocodile of Maya. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna in grihastha ashram, like that, right? So even this is about ashram. If he is unable to maintain brahmacharya sannyas ashram, he can shift to grihastha ashram and then do Krishna consciousness there. So sthane stita srutikatam tanuvan manobhir ye prayaso jita ajita api trilokyam, right? So you be situated wherever you are, but dedicate your activities to hearing Krishna katha and then serving Krishna. That is recommended. So once Radhanand Maharaj was giving a brahmachari class and then he mentioned that just because so many people are in brahmachari ashram, okay, many people have opted this option, that I must continue like this. Although I am facing certain difficulties, although I am finding myself not suitable to be in this ashram, still I want to continue like this only because I am attached to the prestige and respect that comes from the renounced order. Then Maharaj said, you are already fallen. You are not a brahmachari, right? If you are staying in brahmachari ashram only for the prestige element there, right? Only for the respect that a renounced order or a saffron cloth deserves, he is already not a brahmachari. So better be honest. Honesty is better than duplicity. So like that Maharaj was also mentioning in the similar lines. Now just one reflection on this. Even within the brahmachari ashram also, even when we are staying in the ashram also, there could be peer pressure. Now this question is about staying in this ashram or that ashram, whichever is more suitable to me. Now another question is, even within this ashram, which service is more suitable to me? Just because somebody is doing, somebody is singing, so playing harmonium or playing mridanga, or somebody is doing deity worship, or somebody is doing management, that doesn't mean everyone has to do that. Okay, somebody who is singing may get more attention and attraction there. Everyone is glorifying him. But it's not necessary that everyone has to imitate him. He has to identify whether I am suitable for it or not. So unnecessarily getting discouraged for not being able to do certain kind of service is not necessary. It's not mandatory. You need to identify what is the instruction of the superiors for you, and you need to identify for which service am I suitable. Can I comfortably do like that. So no need to develop any superiority complex or inferiority complex just because many others are doing different kinds of services. That is the whole point of varnashram. Depending on the inclinations and capacities of different people, different kinds of varnas and ashramas are created so that different people can be placed in the situations more suitable to him. Like that. So Prabhupada says, sthane sthita sutikatam. One may stay in whichever ashram is suitable for him. It is essential. It is not essential that one take sannyas. For one who is not in a transcendental position, to take sannyas artificially is not a very great credit. Like that. So now this is the condition of Gajendra. So Prabhupada is deriving all these lessons from Gajendra's condition. So basically Gajendra is in a position of mental or physical or sensual strength which is diminished. Right? So when we are desperate, when we can't save ourselves with our own efforts, we can take shelter of Krishna more helplessly. So desperate situations will inspire dependence on Krishna more. So desperate situations are very favorable if only we can take shelter of Krishna. But sometimes desperate situations, this kind of trying circumstances, could make one quit Krishna consciousness also. That is not a very good proposal. But if that can increase our dependence on Krishna, then that's great. So even helpless condition, our Kunti Maharani is also aspiring for them. Vipada santuta sasva tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yashat apunarat bhava darshanam. So in emergency, Draupadi threw her hands in the air, and in such a predicament, he said, I just need shelter of Krishna now, not tomorrow or not after 1 hour. I just need now. That kind of desperate dependence on Krishna will happen when we totally realize that I think it's beyond, way beyond my jurisdiction to, save myself from this kind of predicament. So Gajendra is totally in such a condition. So like that. So what Gajendra is doing in such a desperate condition was described in 31, 32 and 33 verses. Very beautifully described. Even Gauram Prabhu also several times, a couple of times I heard that when somebody takes up so much service, right, to please Guru and Krishna, and at one stage it may go beyond one's level, and then I think I cannot control this anymore, it's just going way beyond, and I'm already in this, I'm already in the middle of all this where I am held responsible for all these services. At that time, the right mood is our dependency on holy name will increase. This is what Prabhuji was sharing. Dependency on holy name will increase. You chant more desperate rounds. Okay, when this was going on, there's some construction was going on, right? So Prabhuji was slogging so much night till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. He was standing on the temple roof and then making all the karigars just work like that. So all stones have to be put. In 15 days, temple has to be opened. And hardly, there is only no gopuram there, nothing was there. No roof on the top. You see, April 1st till 15th in 2014, April 1st till 15th, lot of construction happened. And the photo, they have made a video. The photo on April 1st and 15th, you can't just imagine. In 15 days, this change has happened. No one can imagine. The whole GV is in total action. Karam Prabhu is totally praying. And so many things were there. But basically, Prabhuji was making a point that our dependency on holy name will increase. One will chant more desperate rounds when he is unable to do some service. When the services go beyond one's range. Like that. So that will be sweet. Of course, one need not imitate some senior devotees who can handle so much. One should understand one's position. And one, before accepting things, if one can depend on Krishna in desperate situations, that will be great. But what if he cannot depend on Krishna? What if he cannot chant desperate rounds? Okay, and then say he'll just blame everyone. Or because of him, I am like this. I am like this. He'll end up in offenses. Better don't take more responsibilities and be honest. That's better. No point imitating. Like that. 31. Ittham Gajendra Sayadapa Sankatam. Pranasya dehi vivasoya drucchaya aparayan atma vimokshane chiram dadhya vimam buddhim athabhya padyata.
When the king of the elephants saw that he was under the clutches of the crocodile by the will of providence and being embodied and circumstantially helpless, could not save himself from the danger, he was extremely afraid of being killed. He consequently thought for a long time and finally reached the following decision.
Finally reached the following decision. So, calamity attacked. But he couldn't defend. He couldn't do much to improve the situation. So, he started contemplating. What was his contemplation? To take shelter of Krishna at this point. So Chakvartipada is giving a comment. This is my karma. When he thought in this way, he suddenly got intelligence. Right? After a considerable thought, Gajendra intelligently arrived at this correct decision of taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Now, many people may be in desperate conditions. In this world, the world is meant for that. Right, dhikkara, nyakkara, satkara, that thing is there, na? Nyakkara artham kalevaram, something like that was there in the 7th canto. So this material body, this material world is meant to give suffering and put the soul into desperation. There is no doubt about it. But some people take shelter of Krishna when they are put into desperate conditions. Most people don't do. What was the reason? Sukriti. Right? Chaturvidha bhajanti imam jana sukriti no arjuna. Arto jignasura tathati jnani cha bharatarshava. So, there should be some element of piety and sukriti for a person to take shelter of Krishna in the midst of trying circumstances. So, Gajendra had that sukriti. So, unless one doesn't have some pious background, he won't be able to come to this right decision of taking shelter of Krishna in this desperate condition. Such a decision is not reached by a sinful man. Only pious can decide that in a dangerous or awkward condition, one should seek shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Chaturvidha bhajanti imam. So Radhanand Maharaj says, the only thing that can break us loose from the jaws of crocodile of material energy is when we totally humble ourselves like Gajendra, realizing that we are completely helpless and we surrender. So that surrender requires qualitative feeling of Gajendra. So the quality of Gajendra's feeling here is not compared to someone who is just desiring some bike or some seat in some college. It's totally desperate. Right? Gajendra's condition is, I don't know how to describe in words, but he is completely desperate. He has absolutely no other option Others may have alternative options, okay, or even if nothing worse, I'll have some other thing. But here Gajendra has absolutely no other alternative except taking shelter of Krishna in that condition. That is the qualitative feeling which is emphasized here. 32nd verse. Namam ime gnataya aturam gajaha kutah karinya prabhavanti mochitam grahena pasena vidhatura vrito pyaham chatam yami paramparayanam.
The other elephants, who are my friends and relatives, could not rescue me from this danger. What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of providence that I have been attacked by this crocodile, and therefore I shall seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even of great personalities.
This is simple common sense and intelligence after reading so much Bhagavatam. Nothing, not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. So whatever situation is being created is happening by the will of providence. Right? For me to come out of that situation, only that providence will help me. Only the Supreme Lord will help me. Right? These examples which are given in Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. So government can imprison a person and can release a person. Right? So it has the authority of both. Because government is not under the control of the prison house. Prison house is under the control of government. Similarly, Krishna is not under the control of this incident or this event. Krishna can control this event. He is the controller of this event. So for me, who is under the control of this event or incident, I should take shelter of a person who is not entangled in this. That is the simple thing. So Gajendra thought, this, my wives couldn't help me. All my co-elephants couldn't help me. So now it is caused by the will of providence. I should take shelter of that providence only, Supreme Personality of Godhead only. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, material world is a place of unavoidable miseries. At every step, at every moment there is a danger. Padam padam yad vipadam. Somebody may buy a car, he may think that, oh, I am so comfortable. And then he will go outside in the car and then some accident happens and death happens. But where is the comfortable situation? At any time, anything can happen. Right? If we attack, actually think that material world is a very happy place, that is our ignorance only, illusion only, foolishness only. Real knowledge is that material world is full of dangers. Only Krishna can save us. This is the conclusion that one should arrive at. Right? This is the lesson, main lesson from Gajendra's episode. Even Draupadi also tried so much, right? But she thought, okay, Bhishma cannot help me, Drona cannot help me, Bhima cannot help me, Pandavas cannot help me, my logic and argument cannot help me, okay? And my strength, my own strength as a female to stop the sari when Dushyasana was taking it away, that also cannot help me. Ultimately, who will help me? Just throw the hands out. Krishna will help me. So Krishna helped. Like that. That kind of desperation, if someone can have, then Krishna will automatically come and deliver. We may struggle for existence as far as our intelligence allows and may try to take care of ourselves. But unless Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna ultimately saves us from danger, our attempts will be useless. This doesn't discourage using one's intelligence to solve problems or attempting to come out of a dangerous situation. We just walk towards the ashram and then you step on a thorn, right? Your leg is bleeding. Oh, Krishna will help. I will not do anything. No, you just pick up the thorn and then make some bandage. We can do that. But ultimately, one should have the understanding that Krishna will cure it. If there is Krishna's sanction, then only I will be cured. I will put my efforts. So that is the point. Balasaneha saranam pitaravan rasimha. So that verse also Prabhupada quotes. So, child cannot be protected by parents. Patient cannot be protected by medicine. Boat cannot protect a drowning man. But if he is neglected by Narsimhadev, so child may be protected by parents if Narsimhadev approves it. Patient may be saved by medicine if Narsimhadev approves it. Right? A drowning man may be protected by boat if Narasimhadev approves it. Right? A drowning man should not just close his eyes. He can attempt to get onto a boat. That's not a problem. Right? But ultimately one has to understand it is the will of Krishna, not someone else. Like that. So we may invent so many ways to be happy or to counteract dangers of material world, but unless our attempts are sanctioned by Supreme Personality of Godhead, they will not make us happy. Sanction should be there. Ultimate sanction should come from Supreme Lord. Those who try to be happy without taking shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead are moodhas, rascals, namam dushkritunam, naradhamas, like that. So now Gajendra, coming back to Gajendra. So Gajendra thought, I could not save myself. So to whom I will surrender? 33rd verse, last verse explains. Yah kesha cheno balino unta ko ragat. Yah kashchanesho balino unta ko ragat. Prachanda vegad abhidhavato brisham. Bhitam prapannam paripati yadbhayan. Mrutyuh pradhavatyaranam tamimahi.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly not known to everyone, but he is very powerful and influential. Therefore, although the serpent of eternal time, which is fearful in force, endlessly chases everyone, ready to swallow him, if one who fears this serpent seeks shelter of the Lord gives him protection, for even death runs away in fear of the Lord. I therefore surrender unto him, the great and powerful Supreme Authority, who is the actual shelter of everyone.
So only Supreme Personality of Godhead can protect one from fear. Because fear is fearful of Krishna. Okay, so he can protect from any fearful situation. So I surrender unto him. So Prabhupada speaks about surrendering to the Supreme Controller. One who is intelligent understands there is a great Supreme Authority above everything, and he will surrender unto him. Out of fear of Supreme Personality of Godhead, wind is blowing, sun is giving heat and light, death is chasing everyone. So they are all working under the fear of Supreme Lord, or working with an intention to please the Supreme Lord, and they are fearful of displeasing him. Right? So, that personality of Godhead, he appears as Krishna, Rama, and Lord Chaitanya, and he gives instruction to show us by his own example how to surrender unto Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Mahaprabhu's thing. So, one has to transcend. One has to take shelter of Supreme Lord and then transcend death. Mrityun sarvaharaschaham. So Krishna, Mrityu is the representative of Krishna, and he takes away everything. But one can transcend that death also if he surrenders unto Krishna. Everyone fears death. However, one who seeks shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead can be saved from death. So does the devotee not die? How can you make this statement that he can be saved from death? Prabhupada answers, devotee certainly must give up his body, for the body is material. However, for one who surrenders to Krishna fully and who is protected by Krishna, the present body is the last body. He will not again receive a material body to be subjected to death. That's how he is saved from death. This is the last death. No more death. Means no, because no more body. Like that. Punarjanma naiti. Everyone should fear death, because everyone is caught by the crocodile of eternal time and may die at any moment. The best course, therefore, is to seek shelter of Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and be saved from the struggle of existence in this material world, in which one repeatedly takes birth and dies. To reach this understanding is the ultimate goal of life. Like that. So, Gajendra reached this understanding that only Krishna can save him. And Krishna was just waiting for this moment. So Krishna is waiting. When will this fellow stop his struggle of 1,000 years and then turn back to me? And he didn't just, Gajendra didn't chat in a ritualistic way. Right? he was totally desperate. So Krishna is also waiting for this moment. When will he desperately turn his attention towards me and seek my shelter? Krishna's intention is to provide shelter only, but he doesn't do it against the will of the person. Okay, if he is not wholeheartedly inviting the shelter of Krishna, why should Krishna come and bother him? You still have some hope on your own strengths. Okay, continue. Okay, till you completely give up that hope and till you totally, completely invite me only to protect you, I will not come. So why I should unnecessarily bother you? You exercise your desires like that. But when Gajendra was totally desperate and then he just manifested his surrender, within seconds Krishna manifested. How he came is described in other places. Right? He was not allowing Garuda also to carry him. You are so slow, I will just run away. And his dhoti was coming out. In South India, there is a beautiful description. And Piche, our Lakshmi Devi is just running behind him. And all the Vaikunthavasis were running behind him. Right? And actually, there is some description in South Indian books that Lord was just playing with our Lakshmi Devi. And then this pallu, it was there in the hand of Vishnu. So even without leaving also, Vishnu was running, towards Gajendra, right? So finally he just reached there, and then his dhoti was also falling off. This kind of descriptions will be here. Basically, there are some details, some Laukik or some other scriptures. But point is, when somebody desperately calls out for Krishna, Krishna comes there most enthusiastically, right? That is the one-pointed focus on that person only. He forgets everything else and then comes to protect that person. That's what he did. So, and before that, we'll come in the end of third chapter or beginning of fourth chapter. Before that, we have around 25 or more than, I think, 28 prayers of Gajendra. Beautiful. Tomorrow we will discuss them. Thank you all very much. So I request His Grace Radhesham Prabhu to add any comments or correct anything if it is there. Tomorrow, okay. Thank you. Grathraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, jai. Take down the questions. Now that you are not staying in the ashram, I have to give now only. Give the flow of Swayambhu Manu's prayers. Swayambhu Manu's prayers. And salient points from purport number 9 and 10. Nine, 10, and 14. And 16. Sorry. 9, 10, 14, 16. Salient points from the purports and the whole flow of all the 8 prayers. You can quote verse number 10 in that question. Then this table is there. Who are the 6 elements? Write the 6 elements of Manvantaras 1 and 2. In the table, you just take the first 2 columns. Then compare the positions of Gajendra and crocodile in the water. What lessons does Srila Prabhupada give us in purport number 30. The last question. Write a brief note on Gajendra's introspection in this difficulty. Based on 8.2.31-33. Gajendra's introspection from 8.2.31-33. And Prabhupada's comments also. First question, 25 marks. First question, 25 marks. Second question, 5 marks. Third question, 10 marks. Last question, 10 marks. 25, 5, 10, 10.